and welcome to episode 454 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. My name is Vince Hunt, and joining me as always is the creator of the comic series Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And it's always raining in his heart, but he looks like a rainbow. It's Tony Esmond.
Hello, Vince and Dan.
Hello, Tony. Tony's back from the deep desert.
We
spent about 25 minutes talking about June.
We just went into one. I may have shouted a bit.
It's all about Charney.
Listeners, this isn't going to be a June episode.
No. Not again. We did that last week. That's what's box ticked.
Life for Brian next week.
But welcome to the show. It's just the three amigos this week. We've got a few things and a few books that we're going to talk about this week on the show, as well as the usual old banter, or bants, as the youth call it.
Buttle.
The what?
That's that thing I sent you earlier, buttle.
You send a lot of things, Tony, and to be honest,
I know.
I can't read a lot of them out on the show.
What was those comics from? Or those?
It's this like collection of older comics that I was at the mart and the bloke went, oh, I'm trying to get rid of these. You want these for a quid? And I went, yep.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
I fucking do.
God, you're like a prospector, aren't you? A comics prospector.
That's what it's like at the mart. I like that. Everyone's like little looking at what you got.
And I still made me laugh that he's looking for the DVDs. Tony said, "Have you got anything of someone being killed?"
Oh dear!
The bloke they just went, "Oh, I got these ones."
No. To be fair, I don't think there's a day on Instagram I don't go by where I don't see someone getting killed on Instagram. Right. So it's great, this service. Great. No,
but I've got the complete Blake 7 if you want it.
Have you got the Sapphire and Steel? All people killing themselves.
Have you got themselves? No, just Sapphire and Steel then. That'd be all right. Like that.
I've got this box set of Neighbours. If you watch that, you want to kill yourself.
Oh, dear. Yes. It's going to be that kind of show.
Yeah.
But what would this show be without a sponsor?
Oh.
Yes.
That's a question to my co-host. What would it be like?
Be more expensive.
Oh dear, yeah, because they've got to bankroll these two somehow, and their needs are very, very pricey.
I've got a lot of needs, you know what I have.
But thankfully, we can do it thanks to our lovely sponsors, Global Comics. Yes, they are the place to go for digital comics.
Yep.
Huge library of titles available to read from thousands of indie creators, hundreds of publishers like Image, Boom, Tokyo Pop, TKA Studios, Source Point Press, Humanoids, to name but a few. We're always noticing new publishers and creators all the time on the service, which is amazing.
I get excited when I get a little email saying all these new books have landed.
Yeah.
I can barely keep up with it.
And this show's all about like discovering new books and just checking out some great stuff that's been added there. Any highlights you want to share?
Can I mention one that Dan's mentioned online a few times this week is Steamroller Man.
Yes.
By Matthew Schofield, which I think it's currently free on there. But yep. I think a longer version is going to hit Kickstarter soon. Is that right?
It is. I've got more details on that on the shout out. But honestly, it's such a good comic.
It's like an underground comic. It's like an old underground comic almost.
Yeah.
It feels a bit like that. And the other one I'd like to mention is Void Rivals, issue 1's on there.
Fantastic.
They'll be dropping the issues as the months go on. So it's about 3-4 months behind, I guess, at this point. So go and have a read of that.
I'm not sure if they drop in one just to kind of like get you in on it and you think, oh, I quite like that.
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be a bit out of date, but they've done like Mothers, Leading Women on there.
Oh yeah,
the women who shape our worlds. One that jumps out of space, bitch.
Oh, I thought it was Life's a Beach. Oh, that's a different bit, isn't it?
We got Bad Mother, The Deadliest Bouquet, Lumberjanes, Clementine, The Mighty Women of Science, and many more.
Nice. I've got one that like if you listen to this show and some of the recommendations. We have. I think a couple of months ago, I picked out a one-shot, which was like a splatter western sort of one-shot, which is 3 Days to Death, which is by Dead Sky Productions or Publishing. All 4 issues of that mini-series are on Global Comics.
Oh, there you go.
So I was reading them today. It's great sort of like what I call them, like Tales from the Crypty, grindhousey western stories.
They're
good fun, so you know, you can check them out on there. And plus, with the app, not only can you read all of those titles that we were talking about, you can follow creators, set reading status filters, release notifications for books you're looking forward to checking out in the future. I know that's a certain, I've had a pop-up email telling me that there's some books going on there, which has been really cool. And if you happen to be a creator yourself, you can publish your digital comics for free. They offer loads of great tools for indie creators to help with publishing, marketing, and more. Dan, you've got Vanguard on there, haven't you?
I've got Vanguard, I've got Viper. I've just got to finish uploading the other half of Vanguard, but yeah,
nice. It's all in there. Nice. So whether you're an avid comics reader, creator, or someone new to the hobby and just wants to check out loads of great and diverse titles from all over the world, Global Comics is a place for you. So go to Global Comics, that's comics with an X.com, and you can download the app now on Apple App Store or Google Play and start reading, like us, all our digital comics like never before. And thank you to them for sponsoring this.
Yeah.
Might as well say it, a clusterfuck of a podcast. No, we've come here as always every week to talk about comics and just have some fun or discussion about some different books. And we've got a couple of books to talk about in a second, but there was something else we wanted to mention first, wasn't there?
Oh yeah, Dan, do you want to lead on it?
Yeah, the sad passing of Akira Toriyama, who created Dragon Ball, passed away age 68. It's kind of hard to kind of really cover just how much of a fucking juggernaut this dude was in creative terms, and how much Dragon Ball and his creations kind of it's one of those comic stories and brands and characters that go the world over. I was so late to Dragon Ball, but in Europe, not so much in the UK, but in Europe, it's massive, fucking huge.
It was big in France when I was
there. The world. I can remember going to Spain when I was younger and like their Dragon Ball stuff. I was like, what is this? But
I looked up the sales figures on the Japanese releases, and it was 42 volumes, and it was 6.2 million per volume.
Bloody hell!
Fucking hell!
Yeah,
people can't fathom it, can they? Like, it's just like a sort of a story, characters, and you know, a franchise and readership like no other. I mean, Dragon Ball became a pop culture phenomenon. You know, much so that we know that look. We know that sort of character. Whether you've seen action figures or video games or the books themselves or anything like that, or the cartoons, it's just an absolute phenomenon. One of the biggest, I think it is one of the biggest, isn't it? Out of all of them, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, I think if you look in the charts, it's like fourth or fifth biggest manga ever.
Right.
Big, it's pretty impressive. Yeah. It's a weird one because I was reading about him today, and he wasn't really a massive manga fan or comics fan. He got into it because he just really disliked working at an advertising agency and hated wearing a suit.
Fair play.
So he submitted, 78 this was, and he submitted a comic to Kodansha. Is it Kodansha? And but they turned him down. And he said that is a lesson to us all, I suppose, because he said, well, that only encouraged me to try harder and work harder. That, you know, that work ethic, well, I wish we all had. And it's from there that he created a series of comics, which ended up being Dragon Boy, which then became Dragon Ball, mixed up with something else called the Adventures of Tongpu, which is a cool name. And that all became Dragon Ball. And obviously then the animation is Dragon Ball Z, isn't it? I think.
Yeah.
Is that right?
No, yeah. It's a weird one. Kind of like, I think it changes in Dragon Ball Z. And
yeah, it does. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, yeah, amazing. Amazing body of work. And
he's quite young, actually, as well, wasn't he?
Yeah. In the grand scheme of things, it's no age, is it really?
It's weird because I feel like, you know, like kind of like working down the coal mine that like strips years off you. It seems when you're kind of like a manga artist, a mangaka, it does brutal work. Brutal work. Like, just, I don't really have a concept of just how hard they get worked over there. You just live and breathe it, didn't you? All day, every day.
It's also like the other edge of the sword, isn't it? Like, where success comes demand as well. Do you know what I mean? People want that flavour, don't they? It's like, we like this, we want more of it.
Yeah.
And you have to keep delivering it, basically.
It's always that, so I want to be like so-and-so because they're really successful. It's like, you don't know what you're asking for in a lot of cases, because the amount of sacrifice and work they've had to put in, you don't just become that. It's And that permeates everything,
Yeah,
really.
these people say, "I want to be as successful as this person or as you," and then you say, "You're not answering your phone at the weekends." Oh yeah, I was off, and I'm like, "Then you're not going to be, are you?" And it's part of it. A lot of it is perspiration, isn't it? You know.
I don't want to sound like a massive twat, but like I'm going to anyway. I do it on a weekly basis. I sort of saw one of those posts and it said, "I want to get into comics, but I don't really know how to start." And I was like, "Matt, what are you doing? You got the biggest fucking library database known to mankind at your fingertips. You can listen to videos or watch videos or audio things. There's so much." And just to kind of like, how do I get started? It's like, man, fucking, you're not even taking the first tentative steps to try and find out for yourself. Like, okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah, I know,
But,
man.
do you know what I mean? It's,
Yeah. That speaks volumes of everything, I think, these days, isn't it, sadly? But
It's a loss. It's certainly a major loss, I think.
best way you can get involved in comics, just go on to Twitter and get involved in arguing with people a
Oh,
lot.
that,
And you
that's
can
the
feel
best
like you're
way.
involved
That's
then.
a surefire way into comics. Literally, just make comics. Like, pick up a piece of paper and a pencil and draw a couple of boxes, and away you go. You can get better from there. Like, if you want to get fit, you can go out and take a walk around the block. You've started getting
Yeah, how do I get
fit.
fit again? We'll do some
Yeah.
exercise. How do I make a comic? Make a comic. Yeah.
There you
Good.
go. And when you make it, let us
You
know
can
about
upload it
it.
to Global Comics.
Yeah.
You can upload it.
We'll read it.
We will. We will. Speaking of which, we read a few things, didn't we, this week?
Yeah,
We
you had a
did.
plan, didn't you? You had a plan to do something. Or do you, some one of us had a plan? Was it me?
I think it was
It
you,
might have been.
Tony.
Yeah,
Or was
you
it
said,
me?
let's get free books and kind of like do a bit of a dive on them and see how we get on.
Yeah, so the theory that will probably fucking utterly change as we go through this episode, but the theory, which for starters, that we all went, "Oh yeah, let's do that," was the fact that we thought we'd find a book and find a theme within each book, and each produce tell everyone what the book's about, and then say, "This is what I thought was a good talking point from it." That's kind of the plan, isn't it? Is that right? I kind of
Fuck me,
worked that
I've
out then.
spent a few days this week reading comics, and it's like there's nothing to this one. It's fine,
Yeah.
but I can't really do much with this. Can't do much with this. There's got to be a bit of substance for it to for us to kind of get our teeth into.
That nice little theme that came out of things, and not necessarily the best comic in the world, but sometimes there's something that comes out of it, I think. You know. So should we start with the one that I chose? So we've all swapped around and all had a look at them. We've all read each other's comics for a change, which differs from the recommend, because we don't always read each other's comics on the recommends, do we? So we've done that. The first one that we chose that we've all had a go through. I feel apologies are in order, because I said let's pick a short book we can talk about, and this is like what 100 pages or
And
something, isn't
then he totally pulled our
it?
trousers down.
Yeah, I did say apologies, boys, but how about this?
But saying that, it's not a long read.
Oh, no, it's
No, that's
reading.
true. Yeah, and that's part of it, I think, isn't it? So this is Cyn, CYN, from Humanoids. It actually doesn't come out until the 6th of June. We're lucky enough to be sent a preview copy from the we're on the Humanoids list, I guess, and they sent it through. It's I Cyn, CYN is not the most original name in the world, I feel like.
To the
Anyway.
point, not to jump ahead, but to the point where I thought I made a prejudgment on it before reading it.
It's
Same.
just I thought I know I'm gonna get here.
it's a cunning play on somebody who's committed sins, and almost a little bit on a female name to me. There's a bit of a combination there somewhere. Story and art by Ibrahim Mustafa, Brad Simpson on colors, letters by Hassan Otsami Alahu. One day I must learn how to say that name, because it comes up a lot, doesn't he? So the main character is called Sin. She's escaped life as a killer for the authoritarian group that kind of run that corner of the galaxy, and she's been found by a former, they're called the Union, the authoritarian group, totalitarian group there, and she's been found by a Union mechanic medic who's also escaped, and he's living, it called Maris, and he's living his life out on a borderland planet. What is the film I compared it to earlier? Rebel Moon. There's a
Mate,
little bit of the Rebel
as
Moon in
soon as
it.
you said that, I was like, this really, it's like very much like Rebel Moon in
Yeah,
that regards.
I think we're just hitting that nexus of difference, you know.
There's no way I could
This was
accuse them for
made
copying
after
Rebel
Rebel Moon
Moon
came out.
because, like, this would have been in production way before.
Yeah, I
Like,
agree. I just think we're in that land of coincidence. We hit some kind of comics.
Yeah, there's that
we mentioned that the other week.
Familiar sort of a storyline trope. For instance, like things like Pale Rider or something like that is a similar sort of a mysterious person turns up, makes friends with people. They happen to be an absolute badass, so that when these people get in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, it's a definitive trope, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm going to make the point in a minute that there's nothing new under the sun with this story. It's just well executed, in my opinion. So she's a cyborg. He fixes her, and she sort of on instinct attacks him. He narrowly avoids, calms her down. She slowly realizes that she's surrounded in this outpost. It's like a farm on the edges of a city or a small town. By the lost, the orphaned, the abandoned, and she begins to feel at home there. So we get that there's stray dogs have been gathered there. There's children who've lost their parents in the war. There's this Maris guy who's like this older mechanic guy who helps her. And they go into town, and while in town, she finds a stray dog. I like that moment, probably my favorite moment in it. And of course, inevitably, people catch up with her. They actually don't catch up with her initially. They catch up with him. He's the first person to be recognized, which I actually thought was quite a nice little twist on this story, like you say, the Pale Rider story.
So it's kind of like a redemption for him, isn't it? He kind of got corralled into this gang to do like all the kind of the mechanic stuff. And he sort of reminisces saying, part of me didn't feel like when they went out doing atrocities and horrible shit, I wasn't part of that. But actually, I am.
This sounds, I could be completely wrong because I haven't read or seen the film fully, but is that a similar thing to Battle Angel Alita as well?
I haven't seen that, actually.
Because wasn't there a scientist who worked on cyborgs and stuff?
There is in that.
I don't know if he worked for the villains.
He used to live in the floating city, and then he comes down, and then there's remnants of that because he rebuilds Battle Angel later on. Obviously, Sin, he rebuilds Sin.
In some degree. But carry on, Tony.
I mean, like I say, we're going to keep saying this, you know. This is not the most original story in the world. I have to say, I found the cover a little underwhelming. I almost found it a little bit blurry in a way. Maybe the print file I had. I think it's fairly generic.
Yeah, it's kind of like gone for like a painterly kind of. Like the background's a bit impressionistic. It's not quite.
Yeah, something more in your face, more striking. You know, from a book that has some absolute kick-ass action, some really great. There's a great chase sequence in it, particularly that I really enjoyed. Now, but the main point I wanted to bring out of it, I think, is the redemptive arc.
Yeah.
So redemption in a comic book is something that I'm personally drawn to. I like an older character who's, you know, been a bad person, and discovers some form of redemption by trying to be a good person for a period of time, which we all know when we're reading the comic, watching the movie, TV series, novel, or whatever it's going to be, we all know that's going to end. We know that it's going to come back to bite him, her on the ass eventually. And this is what happens with this one. And no spoilers, but I think inevitably in my head, while I read a book that I read a comic about a redemptive arc for a character like this, I expect there to be the chance they will die at the end, which I think gives it a certain jeopardy to a story like this.
Yeah, they're willing to kind of self-sacrifice for kind of what they believe in and the greater good, as it were.
Yeah, which and they've been bad. They've had the happy time. Mm. You're okay with them dying almost, I think.
Totally. Yeah, like I can totally, it's kind of that old kind of the old heroic bloodshed films. It's they're willing to kind of pay the ultimate price for what they believe in and the stand they're making.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the times these characters have been terrible individuals.
Mm.
You know, there's wars. Really especially horrible. War's a big thing, isn't it? You know, for these stories. But the writer and the artist have to train you and, like, guide you into liking them, which I kind of appreciate, I think.
Mm. I mean, saving a dog is...
It's an easy shortcut, isn't
it? It's an easy shortcut.
Yeah.
I must say, like, Ibrahim Mustafa on this is a bit of a discovery for me.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah, he's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, it's not only, I mean, we say, yeah, we've seen the story before, but if I like that flavour, deliver me that flavour in a way I like, and I'm going to
really
like
well
it.
Told, solid. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's, I thoroughly enjoy, like we said, it's how many pages did you say it was, Tony? It was
it's not far off 100, is it? I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right?
And I just went through it. You know.
Yeah, me too, man.
It never loses you. It never really. You don't. One thing about it, like that, I didn't know until the end. So this is another plus point because this is tied into another book. I did not need to know that other book when reading.
Yeah, me neither. I didn't realize it till we got to the end. In fact, till you said it to me properly, I didn't realize.
Yeah, because at the end of the book, Humanoids has another book that Mustafa has done called Count, which is, and it says, witness the origins of sin in this sci-fi reimagining of the greatest revenge story of all time, The Count of Monte Cristo. I love that story anyway. So, you know, and based on the strength of this story, I wanna read that.
That's intriguing, yeah. Especially if he's gonna got this kind of like craftsmanship, he kinda knows what he's doing.
Yeah. And for me, in the book, there's only one scene where you see this character from the original book that isn't really in this one that made me think, oh, who's that? But it intrigued me rather than made me think, okay, what? Do you know what I mean? She's losing consciousness at one point and she's fading in and out, and there's a character that you see that's clearly got, you know, you don't see him anywhere else in the book. It's just like a little flashback. But that didn't take me out of anything. I was,
You'll know this from this bloke from before. You know that, don't you? Do you remember we talked about High Crimes with Christo Sabella?
Yeah.
He's the artist on that.
Right, okay.
Oh,
that's like 10 years ago, pretty much.
Yeah,
isn't it?
So many people talk about that.
I love that book. Yeah, it's really good.
Say, page 55 of this, when I came across it, there's a sequence where Sin is confronted by a gang of like four or five people. And she takes him out in like, there's three panels like split horizontally across the page, and each one has got like two or three insets of what she's doing aside from the main action. And I had to go back and look at it a couple of times. It's like, this is fucking what comics can do, this sort of sequential storytelling.
Yeah.
Because in panel one, like one of the guys in the background is like throwing this kind of hatchet at her, and like in the second panel, it's like in the first one, she's kind of catching it in a smaller cutaway panel.
There's a couple of inset panels, isn't there?
And then, like in the second big panel, the guy's taking it in the head, and it's like she's taking these people out, caught this hatchet in midair, throwing it back, and giving it to the bloke, whilst kind of like this tornado of action taking people down, and it's really well done. Rather than having like pages and pages of this big fight.
Yeah, the last panel of that page goes down. Yeah, and the last panel of that page is a brilliant example of having, you've got a landscape sort of action scene, and you're using frames within that to highlight other action going on, and but the action's moving from left to right. Like you can see where she was, but it's not interfering with where she's going, and then she ends up. There's quite a few decapitations in this book, which I approve of.
Again,
I've been thinking a lot about this and about having a bad person appear in a town. It was just a massive trope, isn't it? You know, we see it. It's a lot of Westerns, massive, this sort of thing. And this is a Western, essentially, isn't it? It works as a Western.
Yeah.
The thing is, if you're going to portray them as a bad person, you have to show that they're a bad person, right? But you have to play with the affections of the reader by showing them that they're a bad person, but also pulling the reader around to believing that they're now trying to be a good person, thus presenting the trap you're faced with at the end of the redemptive arc as to whether they live or die.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think he does that well. We don't see a massive amount of, you know, all the people she killed in her previous life here, but if you did show it, you'd also have to show her doing something else good. That makes sense. They have to sort of balance it to pull you back. Because if it was just a fucking like monstrous serial killer who turned into town and sat in a house and everyone quite, you know, got on real well, you think the other shoe's going to drop here. He's going to kill someone in this house. But yeah, I never feel that about her. I never feel she's going to actually go through and kill one of the kids who she's living with, one of the dogs, or this bloke Maris. I never feel that about her.
No.
And I've got affection for her almost from the first third of the book. You know.
So it's going to be interesting watching the other book where I think she's going to be a heavy working for the bad guys. So you'll see more of that. And that it'll be revealed that there's more to her going on. I mean, you know, I want to read the book. That's why this book works so well. But yeah, but it totally works, isn't it? And like, you're never against her. You're always with her.
Yeah. There's a couple of moments, I'm going to say on the art, there's a couple of moments I saw the reference.
Right.
If you go to page 19, 18 and 19, especially 19. I'm getting the reference in those top two panels. Sorry, page 20, pardon me. No, 19, pardon me, 19. Is
Okay.
it the one with his putting his hand out, you're a miracle?
Am I going to the wrong page?
Maybe
Oh
19.
yeah,
oh
okay.
yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting the reference a little too strongly on that one. I don't mind reference at all. Like people keep going, well, oh, there's nothing wrong with reference, and there isn't. But you've
No.
got to show that it's not of just something over the top of the photograph.
Gotcha.
And I feel a bit like there was with that. I like that person too
See,
much, and it's took me out of it a bit. These two panels.
I don't get that, but then again, I don't necessarily know the reference. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I
So
don't
is
know
that?
either. I don't know either. I just kind of feel that
Yeah.
we've gone from him being slightly more cartoony. On the lead up to it, and then that one, that first panel,
Feels
I
like
don't
a
know, man.
face, feels like a real person.
Yeah,
But I mean, I think that
that's
is
okay. It just
that work, but a similar thing happens, especially sort of leading up to it. You know, whenever there's a focus on the face, there's clearly reference there, isn't there?
yeah, there's a lot there. I mean, there is reference. I just kind of
Reference
that
used
one
well, I
panel,
think. Yeah, I think that's,
yeah, reference used well is fine, isn't it? It's just when it shows, you think, oh, that's a photograph. That's that caught it caught me unawares there with that one. But saying that, I don't get that from her at all in this book.
No,
No,
I
that
know what you
makes
mean.
sense. Yeah.
She feels like a comic character, as it were. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah. Maybe it's the counterpoint of the two that took me out of it for a second
maybe,
there. Yeah. But yeah, overall, I absolutely loved it. And it's very kind of humorous to send it through to them to us. You know what
Yeah,
I mean?
thank
We
you.
have the odd bit of conversation with them, but yeah.
Just nice, simple sci-fi as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's good that they're out in the world putting this stuff out.
I mean, you know, I'm all for high concepts and stuff, but sometimes high concepts are so high that you get a nosebleed from the altitude. Do you know
We
what I mean?
just
And it's all like
want a
this.
fun adventure story, don't we?
This is just,
Yeah, this the simple story well told.
Mm.
That you can go fucking miles with that.
Yeah,
It's
yeah. And I mean, this not necessarily sci-fi, but just any ideas in general. And I'm sure we can all agree, gents, that some ideas, some storytelling ideas, whether it be comics or other things, are so pleased with the smell of their own shit that they stop being functional as what they're supposed to be.
yeah.
You know,
They
we've
just want to show
already.
you how clever they are, yeah.
Which immediately sort of puts me off. But this is just, it's just good comics, isn't it? Just good, fun
I
comics.
think so, guys. I think so. Yeah, it took me a while to find one we could talk about. I just wanted
Same,
something,
yeah.
and that redemptive arc, and like you say, that thing about no new stories under the sun, which I don't particularly believe, but you know, the old stories are worth retelling as well sometimes
Yeah,
in a well done way.
yeah.
I just come across this one, and I'm glad you guys dug it. I thought it was a good one.
So,
Yeah.
didn't we mention, was it Daryl last week? Like, if you come across like a story that's already been told, or it's like, do you just stop telling yours? And it's like, well, no, man, because just it's telling it in your voice. And
Yeah.
I think this one of the things you retell the same stories over and over, and they've got like a twist on them, or you kind of know the way they're going to play out. But
Yeah.
Yeah.
don't let that stop you, man.
Yeah. And and this story has a voice. This creator has a voice, and you can quite clearly, I want to read more by
Yeah, I've
Mustafa,
been
I
on his
think.
website looking to buy some OA from him and stuff like that. Yeah, I think he's certainly a creator that I'll be watching. Yeah.
Likes his sci-fi. So,
Yeah. Yeah.
always good. Always good. Okay.
Well, who's next?
How should we do the tempo of this? Because this is obviously one thing, and my books are slightly different.
Oh yeah, do you want to? Oh, Dan's is even worse than this one, though, isn't it? Dan's like fucking just like let's mess up a load of soldiers, sci-fi soldiers. Whale is a bit more personal, isn't it? Do you want to be the personal jam in a sandwich,
I'm
really?
going to be some personal jam. What?
What?
Yes, but here we are. The other book is from Blue Fox Comics, and who are just constantly publishing stuff. It's always good to see with the indie comics.
Yeah,
As a
thanks for
30,
sending it through again.
it's described as a 32-page full-color horror comic written and drawn by Richard Fairgray. And the synopsis: people wonder why ghosts wail, but Beth knows the answer. It's because she never told her friend how she felt. At the funeral, she whispered it to the casket, but knew it was too little, too late. Now, this was a very interesting one because,
Yeah.
as always, which is strange to say about comics, I like to go in blind
Yeah.
and
I
just
did the
read it.
same, man. Yeah, we've talked about this, but yeah, you've gone.
And obviously, a very different in tone and concept from what we just spoke about. And what I will say, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed this book. It was it seemed when I was reading it, I saw it as quite a personal sort of poignant story about friendship, loss, and regret, and you know, a friendship throughout the years is you're seeing sort of like flashbacks and flash forwards to these moments in these friends' lives. And you know, we already know that one of them's passed away, so it's a lot of looking back at what was said and what the things that went unsaid. It's a solemn book about loss and regret and mourning, as I said. And one of the characters is, they look, when you see them in modern day, they look like, just, they look haunted. And
yeah,
and I'm using terms like this, and what I like about this book is it isn't a conventional, these look like sort of realistic kind of people. This isn't like, you know, this isn't a book full of the beautiful
people. There's a little bit of a cartoony style about it, isn't there,
yeah,
as well?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. I think more so at the beginning when it's them as kids.
Yeah,
I think it works a little stronger as the book goes on and you get used to the sort of the older versions of these characters. And it was touching, it was poignant, and it but then it sort of hits you with a bit of a stinger at the end, which brings in a sort of a haunting, a ghost-like sense of it. A supernatural sort of echo happens in the book, which when I was reading it, I was like, oh, cool. You know, I didn't go into this thinking it was a horror book, though. And
that's where you and I are different, man, because I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I completely forgotten that in the PR they sent us, they described it as, I think you just read it out, didn't you? They describe it as a horror book, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that, you know, horror has to be death, murder, and destruction, you know.
It hasn't got to be Cannibal Ferox,
you know, I mean, it almost feels horror adjacent because it's talking about the supernatural. But this is really a sort of, it's a poignant sort of story about friendship that happens to have like the echo of like ghosts. And I know the creator, Fairgrey was, very much there's some prose pieces in the back talking about ghosts and the look of the book, and there's some lovely sort of work in progress about how he tries to convey things and what he's doing with the art, and how he's been a colorist for digital comics for the longest time, and he wanted to do something a bit more sort of pure and like hands-on. And the book's got a sort of a lovely sort of ink washy sort of painting. Sort of one of the things that works about it is the sort of the tonal colors in it.
It does.
Got a I always use this term, is that dreamlike sort of sense to the story. And it feels
physically they're aged well, I'd say, as well.
I think so.
I've got a couple of issues with the early dialogue with the younger kids, but I think physically that soon clicks into place, but physically very much so, I think.
And one of the strongest pages, a couple of pages for me, was later in the book, the post-funeral scene. Wordless, and there's two pages of this character, and there's one page in particular where she just shuts herself in the bathroom, rolls a towel by a door, takes off another hand towel, and just cries, you know, puts her head into that hand towel. That was a powerful page for me, because I completely got what was happening there. And then shortly afterwards, then we get the sort of the supernatural echo, which works really nicely in this story. I was like, oh, there's a presence, there's the echo. I mean, people can talk about what ghosts are, whether they're like, you know, spectres, or whether they're, you know, just
echoes,
memories, you know, the energy of these people. This book doesn't give any answers to it. In a sense, you could also say that, Is this person seeing a ghost? You know, you can interpret, or is it just their regrets, or, you know, the things that they're thinking?
Yeah, so it's easier to be leave it ambiguous, and then you can kind of read into it as a reader.
Yeah,
I've got a couple of questions about that, and I'm like you, Vince. I do like those wordless pages. Shout back to last week, but there's a couple of things that happen. She rolls the towel up and puts it under the door. Now, when I read those panels, or presses it against the gap in the bottom of the door.
Yeah.
I thought, is she going to kill herself here?
There was a sense.
But the point of it is that she can cry very loudly, I guess.
Yeah.
but it's a wordless page.
Yeah.
Now, I think the decision to make it wordless is a lovely little decision often. I don't think it works. You should have had the noise in one of the panels. She's purposely blunting the noise, but you're still in the room with her. Do you see what I'm saying?
It's difficult because what sound effect could you put in there that could kind of convey the kind of the pain and anguish of
it is something that, like, if you think about it, comic book effects could potentially murder the sense of drama in a scene, isn't it? You know, even if someone's going, if you write that as a word, what is that word? Well, you know, is it just a nonsensical thing that we're taking? But I will say that to counterpoint that, and I get what you're saying, Tony, to counterpoint that, the artist does go to a point of, you see three panels of her putting her head into this sort of towel, and on the third panel, there is lines in her face like she's
crying into the towel.
Like she's crying, and then when you see her, there's a vein in her neck because it's...
But then she does it without the towel on her face.
Yeah.
Which gives you the point of why she's put the towel against the door. I understand that completely. Yeah, I mean, it's a choice. I'm not saying it's bad because of that. I found the first couple of panels like, oh, why is she doing that? That is what threw me a little bit, I think.
Actually, looking back, there's no sound effects anywhere in it, actually.
Okay, that's an interesting choice. Yeah.
There's one point I was going to make there's the warmth and the friendship between the two girls. Mm. I wasn't sure if it was kind of alluding to something else between them. It was kind of like... A romantic feeling that was never really expressed or played out because there's absolutely no warmth between her and her husband.
Yeah.
Like the main characters, they don't even.
Yeah.
They're not in on it, are they? Touch. Because they're not the best friends. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah.
Because you think about when she's in the bathroom, she towels up the floor. So her husband can't hear her grieve. And it's like, why wouldn't you want that? Like,
is that a statement on, sometimes our best friends we can talk to and sometimes we can't, our partners?
I think so. There's an absolute... There is a flashback scene where something... And as we were saying, this book does a wonderful thing of telling you things without straight out telling you things. Mm. There are two friends sort of like they're consoling each other and one of them says, is he mad that you told me instead of him first? Do you know what I mean? You know, that kind of thing. So we, you know, this book completely gets across the sense of like it's a lifelong friendship.
Yeah,
that's come to an end, which is, you know, it's a tragedy. This book,
Can I ask you, is that the reason you think it's a horror book? The tragedy, the death.
Is it
the ghost?
The ghost is, I think, why they can put horror in it. I personally don't consider it to be a horror book.
I don't think actually seeing a friend of yours come back and speak to you as a ghost is horror. I think it could be perhaps encapsulated by saying supernatural.
Yeah.
But like we chatted about this earlier, didn't we? I kind of feel like the PR on this is a little bit off and that it should be described. It's more of a like an Avery Hill book to me, this book.
It's a hard one to kind of sell because if you sort of say horror, you might get people in. But then the people buying this thinking, I'm going to get horror, they're not going to get the horror.
I mean, that's why I didn't read it, because a little history on the book is that it came in, I downloaded it, sent to you boys, and I said, I'm not sure if I'm digging this. You have a look. And because I went into it reading the blurb saying it's a horror book, it was like a load of kids going swimming, nothing seemed to happen. And I just flicked through it, seeing what kind of horror it was. And then I thought, oh no, it's just like Goonies. I don't like that. And I said to you boys, hey, you have a look. And it's only when Vince said he was going to do it as his book for this, I thought, well, I'll go back, give it another chance. And I really liked it after that.
Yeah.
I think because I went in preconceptions, like massive preconceptions on it. Yeah, it is totally. Yeah.
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 You know, for me, if I was to categorize it, it's supernatural drama. Do you know what I mean? Or drama first, supernatural afterwards. But I can also see
the story of two friends growing up. And
how do you sell
supernatural elements?
How do you sell supernatural drama?
It's a different one. Do we live in a world where, like, you know, I actually almost think like we live in a world now where, certainly in regards to graphic novels that sit on tables at Gosh, if we said this is the, you know, the love of friendship between two girls growing up, it would sell better than saying ghosts. Does that make sense?
So. The audience you're pitching it to, if you kind of like sold it in that regard, I think you would do okay.
Yeah.
But maybe that audience wouldn't like it if you said that's a ghost story, which it's not really.
No, it's it. The other big mislead for me, and while we're talking about why I didn't initially click onto it, is the cover. I think the cover is a good cover. I just think it's a horror cover. I think it gives that, there's almost like this sort of two faces thing, like contorted in pain. Like there's, it's what I felt like one of them was maybe schizophrenic serial killery type thing
I
going
get
on.
that. Yeah. I get that. It's not a cover that kind of directly relates to the content for me in as
Yeah.
much.
It's
When
not
you go back and
representative
look
of the
at,
content, is
yeah,
it?
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, V?
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with that. I mean, it's a lovely bit of sort of artwork, and it's certainly haunting in its own way.
Yeah.
But I think because of the you're seeing a person wailing, literally on the cover. It's saying something. I don't know, it's like our cover discussions, there is a we don't get that delivery really of what that this scene is within the book so much. That cover as oh, I don't know, that cover's a lot darker than the contents of the book, and
Yeah.
the book is, like I said, it's a sad book. It's
There's a
it,
warmth to it. There's a lovely warmth to the characters in this book.
that
Yeah.
yeah, which makes the sadness ever so more sort of
Yeah,
amplified, isn't
exactly.
it?
They draw they oh, you gotta love the characters before you kill them. It's the old story, isn't it? You know.
It feels like real people,
Yeah.
which is nice, and it's something that it doesn't it's the story's there, it's not telling you the story. What I mean, what this discussion has proved to me is like we can have certain ways of interpreting this,
Yeah.
because I totally get where you're coming from, Dan. Like, it was there the regret of maybe a romantic thing that didn't go anywhere, or is it something else? There's certain tones and the way that the story is told that leaves things open to interpretation, which was, as we've always said, can be parts of great horror. So I want to give that is due.
Yeah.
I think it's if it's horror, it's on the family tree of horror, but it's a second cousin. Do you know what I mean? Because
Okay.
that because
Yeah.
that because this got me as a sort of a personal character
All
drama.
ages, the others.
Yeah.
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 The other thing that threw me a little bit as well when I sort of flicked through it initially when I downloaded it was page one. Page one looks like we're suddenly living in the world of Gareth Hopkins, abstract comics. And it's a lovely page. I really liked it. It's a sort of scratchy black line with a sort of blue wash over the top of it. But it's not. I still don't understand why it's there.
I think is it this representative of the wail of the ghost?
Oh, I thought it was like looking up from under the water to the edge of the
See,
bank.
yeah, you
Okay.
can have that, but I can also see in some ways someone's mouth opening like a sort of scream.
Like a portrait on the side of
Oh, I
it.
see. Yeah. I don't think it works for the rest of the book. I think it's a lovely image. I really like it. I'd have it on a wall even, but it just doesn't work with the next page.
I think because this book has such a strong connection to there's a dock that these two characters meet on constantly, and they're having these chats, or
Yeah.
I think there's a lot that could be done probably with a cover. If it was a different cover, maybe you have a shot from above of them sitting on the dock, and the ripples in the water are someone's face. Do you know what I mean? It's something like that. That's
Or
just
their future selves, or their old selves, or yeah.
I mean, that's not to take away from the what it
Mass
says
is
about.
not like this is not. Don't think we didn't like this, guys. We
Yeah.
liked this
No,
book.
yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I did anyway. I thought
Yeah.
I really did enjoy it.
Yeah. And you
I just think
do.
it just it switched my preconceptions a bit once I
Yeah.
got into it and thought, oh, this is what this book's about. Good. Or not even what the book's about, because the book should
Yeah.
throw you as you go through.
Yeah.
But this is the feeling I'm getting from this
Yeah.
book.
And
Yeah.
it does a lovely thing as well. Like you see characters through the ages, and they're the same characters, but there's one point where one of the main characters has quite a severe haircut. Because that's clearly a phase of that, that's a point of their lives where they were trying that hair. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so it's
Doesn't work for her.
no, it doesn't. But then later on, like you see it hairs back, and like they've got that they're a lot older. They've grown into their looks, as it were, in some ways.
I think in the later scenes, she's laying in bed with this bloke who looks like one of the old people in The Simpsons. And but she still looks young. I know people dye their hair. I know older ladies often dye their hair, but I think as a signifier, he could have added some grey to that hair, I think.
sort of saying that she's a little older.
See what you mean, yeah.
I would like that look he gives her when he's on the settee. Like, that's a typical bloke to wife. The wife's going through a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
Emotional. It's just like, hope she gets it. Hope she sorts it out soon and doesn't. Yeah.
And it it does very much clarify, you know, that some friendships go beyond, like, the relationships you have, like, you know, whether it's your husband or whatever, because it's something that you have that your partner will never understand, or, you know, they will...
I always loathe to sort of say when there's the same-sex relationship and it's not romantic. I don't like the fact that people almost jumped to it immediately nowadays, because...
Yeah, I don't like
You can have absolutely fantastic... fantastic friendships that are really deep and meaningful, and there's no romantic shit going on.
I wonder if anyone
whatsoever.
Does any sort of like fan/fiction about the three of us.
Yeah, happy to
That'd
read
be
it.
Worth reading, wouldn't it?
Don't ask for things that
to counter the point. I'd want it to be sexual immediately.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, just I'll say what we were all thinking.
In a sort of fantasy depraved setting.
But I think it was lovely to... I haven't read a book like this for a while, I think.
We used to get a lot of them, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And certainly we've been up to our necks in post-apocalyptic futures, you know, zombies and all these
Super
kind
robots,
of...
robots, Transformers.
Yeah, all of this stuff.
We have got one very kindly through from Kat this week, haven't we, Avery Hill, that's on the reading pile.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks, Kat, by the way.
So... this was both a lovely change of pace, and it just, because it worked so well, because it was a change of pace, but it was a pace that was so easy to read. It was not a... I was entranced throughout it, and but at the same time, it's a sad book. It's a sad book, which I think
we can be sad sometimes, can't we?
Exactly.
I mean, look at Hidden Lives. We all worked on Hidden Lives. It's an incredibly sad book.
Yeah.
I like it. I like being sad. I don't know why I had to do it.
The scenes change so much, like the small press scene. It's
It has, isn't it? Really has.
And like, there's some, when it gets into the supernatural bits, there's some lovely sort of the ghost sections of it, without spoiling too much. There's a real way that the vision of this person morphs and changes in a sort of a haunting kind of way, which there is one panel sort of towards the end, not at the very end of the book. Not going to give that away, but you see, like, the main figure sat up in bed, and a lot of the page is in this pale blue, which is almost
like...
Yeah,
I like that page.
Yeah, it's almost like ink, isn't it? Sort of like bleeding into the real world in some ways, almost like washing it all away. It's,
I had certain feelings about that panel, and I really do think it's an attractive panel, and it's lovely use of colour, like you say, he's banging to colour.
And also, she's the warmth in that page. Have you noticed that?
Well, that's part of what I wondered about. It almost looks like that's not her friend.
I see.
Is that saying something?
I took it in a different way, in as much that when you have these kind of the memories of the people that you used to know in your life, and they fade and just become a kind of a noise, and just you don't have a, just like if you met your friend yesterday, but if you haven't seen them for years and years, you're kind of the memory of them and what they're like, and
fades and changes.
It fades and changes and just becomes a kind of a thing that's
we're different people, aren't we? We move through our lives, we become very different, don't we?
I mean, you've probably met up with people that you've caught a new years ago, and they're like, man, they're fucking different. They're really different. Like,
we had a reunion for my first job, my first week, recently, and there's people there I haven't seen for 30 years.
Mm.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah, we all
look
very old.
Happen, and like they just like that's completely changed that person. They're like, not sometimes for the better, sometimes not.
Yeah. So it's worth checking out, this one. There's going to be a Kickstarter March 8th.
Oh, it's Kickstarter, is it?
Yeah, coming soon. So look for it. It's Blue Fox Comics, and that's Whale. That's WAIL by Richard Fergray. It's well worth your time. I think it's well worth
your time.
Yeah, I think so.
If you're into that sort of scene, that sort of good comics, Avery Hill, kind of certain areas of Fantagraphics and Drawn Quarterly. You'll dig this, I think.
It's the sort of personal comic stories that I like. It was
man, I love the personal. I love the personal stories. Yeah.
Speaking of something,
if they're done honestly.
Yeah, exactly. Done honestly and telling like actual character stories, and this does tells a story, you know.
Yeah. Well, you're about to say. Speaking of the personal, this is we're about to hear about the life story of Dan Butcher.
We're traveling down this nice cul-de-sac, exploring this heartwarming story about sort of love and loss and regret. I'm pulling the handbrake within 180, and I'm flooring it, and we're sort of shooting back into the town centre. Dutch, issue 1 of 3, miniseries premiere. The legendary 90s super soldier returns for an all-new adventure. An enemy from the past has forced Dutch back into the belly of the beast. Will his former teammates welcome him back, or will a cybernetic kill team get to him first? It's balls to the wall action from the team of Casey and Gain, plus an exclusive variant cover by legendary Dutch creator Chap Yeep.
He's the creator of Dutch originally, isn't he? Is that right?
Yes.
I do like Joe Casey. I picked this up off the shelf, which is why I recommended it to you, Dan. Mm. But full disclosure, I put this on my pull list. I really like the art as well.
I think there's only 3 issues. So,
is that all there is? There's a 0 issue as well, isn't it? Because it's 0. In the Image Comics anthology thing they did.
Right. Okay.
Do you remember this character, Dan?
I do. Yeah.
Right. I didn't. You see.
With a lot of the kind of the old Youngblood characters and the team, the Extreme Studios, when you sort of can flesh out their background or kind of, or you want to do a new, like an older version of them, they're essentially just blank slates anyway. There wasn't great amounts of characterization with these characters. Yeah. All like, oh, he's the moody one. Oh, he's the funny one. And that's about the limit.
He's
of,
the feral one, and this sort of thing.
It's about the limit of the characterizations that went on. The Dutch character, I can remember, he was like once working for the bad guys, which I think were Cyberdyne or someone, and then he broke free and then started working for Youngblood or whatever.
Brigade, wasn't it? Was it Brigade?
I'm not sure if he was in Brigade. I think he was. I think he was in Team Youngblood, which was kind of like.
Same fucking thing.
Like the West Coast Avengers. You know, I mean, you had Youngblood, which were the Avengers, and then Team Youngblood, which was like the kind of the B cast. Right. And he was part of that. And that's all I can remember about the character. He kind of went around with guns, and I thought they've called him Dutch because of Arnie and Predator.
But there's another character.
He's got quite a jaw on him, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
He's
got a tune you'd want to punch, isn't he?
He's kind of got the old man Logan thing coming on, hasn't he? Kind of like the badass coming out of retirement because...
Yeah, there's a certain cable nature to him as well, which...
He's fucking Cable, isn't he? Let's face it.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like, I think he realizes something's going down, so he breaks into the Pentagon, and in the sort of sub-level of the Pentagon is like the people he wants to talk with, which is one of an ex-member of Brigade, and... I'm glad it tells me that because I wouldn't have had a fucking clue.
I had to look her up. Yeah.
But do you need to have a clue though? That's the thing.
Not particularly. It's just the fact that she kind of he reminisces on the fact that like she used to be like this fantastic like superhero who had all the looks and everything in the right places, and that's what she was sold on. But now she's become a sort of a bit of a company person and is now kind of toeing the line. And he's trying to get through to her that like there's a problem coming up and you're not really keeping an eye on it, but I am. And she's going, no, just fine, happens like this all the time. And in the end of it he kind of gets attacked by this old like these old robots from like the Cyberdyne or whatever the bad guys are, I can't remember them. And he's falling to his doom with one of them grappling. But I did send it to you guys, there's that one page that the building is like in silhouette and the form of it is shown by the window placement, and in the background you've got the blue sky which sort of frames it, blue night sky, and it's like, man, that's so great because you read into detail in that building but you show very little. It's all kind of your mind is filling in those gaps of what this building
is. Lovely
like.
Art, I really like it. It's the Watergate Hotel, isn't it? Is that right?
I think so, yeah. It must be, because
that's where he jokes.
Yeah, that's where they are.
Yeah.
It's Great, yeah, I'm really enjoy. It's a really fun book. Really, it's strange because the cybernetics he's got on him are quite, they're sort of image 90s, but kind of like
They almost
made a
look
little more
steampunky as
retro.
well, don't they? There's
Yeah.
that sort of like Chris Pacello sort of steampunky like nature to it.
I really dig it. I
Yeah.
think the reason I sort of wavered over picking it up was I thought it was something to do with the Cyberdyne. Is it's not Cyberdyne, the what's the universe now? Energon.
Oh,
Something to do
Energon.
with the Energon universe. I got him mixed up with Duke because I don't know anything about
Easily
I
done.
don't know enough
Yeah.
about Youngblood and I don't know anything about G.I. Joe. So I went, oh, is this like an Energon
I was the
thing?
same. I totally thought that going into it. I thought, oh, is it another one? But I thought that's a bit of a mistake, them doing Dutch just after they've done Duke.
Duke,
yeah,
yeah.
that's
But
then
what I
I
thought.
thought, is there a Dutch in G.I.
There's
Joe?
another two coming out, isn't it? Scarlet and Destro, they're doing.
Yes. Yeah, I think are they not they out now?
I'm
I'm
not
not
sure
sure
they're out.
actually.
I always feel like
Yeah.
sort of just calm down, man. Just let it bed in a bit because what you've
Yeah.
put out so far is decent.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about Cobra Commander. I'm hearing a lot of people saying that's really good, but after I read the first issue, I was like, it's not really for me, this, but
Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
maybe I should go back if. Maybe I should go
Yeah.
back.
I think they need to put it out almost in like, do you remember when who was the Florida-based company that used to put out, they didn't put out a collection of one comic. They put a collection out of all the first issues, all the second issues. The X-Men did it when
Okay.
yeah, they
The name
almost like to
escapes
do
me
that
for
with
that.
Energon, don't they? Yeah.
You can get most of those. You can get Duke, Transformers. I'm not sure Cobra Commander's on Global yet, but I want to get up to speed on. I'm an issue behind on Transformers, but
Right.
I've got to say I was a bit skeptical because after reading, was it Extremity that Danny Warren Johnson wrote and put on, as currently funded on Kickstarter and going absolutely nuts. And I've got like the first two or three issues of that. I was like, not sure about this. Don't really, not really
Why is
vibing
that?
for
Why
me.
is that doing so well on Kickstarter? I don't understand. It's been out for ages, isn't it?
Maybe it's just because he's the hotness at the moment.
Done extra stuff for it, or I don't
Yeah,
know.
I don't know. Don't know.
The second, the cover to issue two of Dutch, go back. Dutch is fucking great as well.
Yeah, it's got
I
kind of.
really like it. I think Joe Casey, when he that Sex series he did from Image a few years ago, I really liked as well. I do like the fact that he's out there. He's not like Mr. Look at me, but he does these sort of slightly, cynical, nasty stories, and I
Oh
kind of
mate,
like
yeah.
them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a fucking I'll send it to you now. There's an alternative cover for issue two done by oh God, that artist. He's so good. Eric Kennett, is it?
Oh,
Kennett,
Canetti,
yeah,
yeah.
Kennett. Oh man, I fucking love his stuff.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah, I
I'm
like
gonna
him. I
watch
like seeing
that.
him on Instagram, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, have you just sent it through, have you?
Yeah.
I mean stories like this,
Oh yeah, nice. Fuck.
I love that's
I
fucking
think
great.
are quite interesting when they're sort of revisiting those sort of like Image 90s sort of characters like Brigade and I think one of the things that almost works against it is because it's coming out at a similar time as like G.I. Joe and the way that it's presented, where like when you look at the covers, I thought it was a G.I. Joe type book. But that aside, it's a book like this. Do you think when you make a book like this, you should be essentially writing a fresh take, but giving a few nods to the people that read the original?
Yeah, that's a funny one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I think
Because
it's a
it
difficult
has to,
situation bringing back someone.
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, and certainly if it's, sometimes the originals weren't really that great,
No.
but you can do something really good with the character. I think they've done it
Prophet's
before.
a prime example of that for
Yeah.
me.
Oh God, that fucking
Yeah.
Prophet series is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is to me is like the easiest ones to bring back are those 90s Image ones, because like you say, Dan, they had fuck all going on in the first place.
Yeah.
They'd appear in like three issues in the background and stuff like that, so it's easier to do that. But if you're bringing back someone or character that is more established, I think it's a difficult juggle, because
Yeah.
for me, I would feel bad if I hadn't spoken to the original creator of it,
Yeah. You need to
and
know your
ask
lore inside and out.
and
Yeah.
make sure they're okay with me doing it. Because I know, for example, I mean, I think this has happened in 2000 AD, for example, where they bring back a character and they're like, why am I create this? Why, it's like
Yeah.
that. And I'd feel,
Yeah.
so I like to think that it's
Dipping
Image again, isn't it? So
dipping
they'd
back into the
probably,
creator rights sort of pool there a
yeah,
little
very
bit, aren't
much
we?
so. Yeah, especially if they're an alive creator still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even just being an informal thing, just to sort of say, look, I'm gonna
Yeah.
do this. Is that, are you okay with
It
that?
should to me to be the job of the editor to
Yeah,
put out
fair.
the and say, look, we're thinking of bringing it back. What do you think?
I think some of the details can be like some of the most important things. For instance, those supporting characters, like working for a government agency, etc. Oh, you used to be this character. You have to do that in a way that both acknowledges and respects the original readers, but you're talking about someone that no one else knows. It's essentially like me going into Big Game and reading a lot of characters. I don't know who they are, but I have to buy in to what these characters are because they've got like a history. You know, you've got to feed the new reader as well as the people.
I mean, it did for me, this one, because it stands alone, I think, this one, for me. What do you think, D?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I kind of, like I said, I know much about Dutch as you do now because what I've told you.
If the story's strong, it's a springboard to get into this character that you'll probably end up liking more than the original.
Just fucking foot down and go for it. Just go fucking nuts. Got nothing to lose. Just do a crazy ass comic with like an ex'd 90s image hero and go for it.
Yeah.
Will either of you continue with this, do you think? Or
I'll read it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want
Eric Larson. It's in the same bit of the shelf as Eric Larson for me, this kind of art. And I kind of like that, you know.
The masthead kind of like, it doesn't really work for me. I can see Dutch.
Yeah.
You got DU, which is like they're,
it doesn't work.
Aping the Youngblood style of like.
They're from
the
separate
way they
words,
aren't
they? Separate fonts.
I don't understand what the T-U-C-H is from. So the DU and I don't know.
The D and U are separate. The T and the C, I'm going to say, are the same. And then the H is another.
C's from Cyberforce.
Yeah, C's from Cyberforce.
T's from Team Youngblood.
The H is from Stormwatch.
Oh, okay, there we go.
I can see that concept. God, I think Vince and Dap and Jason talked about this. They worked it out. I think on EOC, I remember them talking about this now. I'd forgotten about that.
Do you say the T was Wildcats, Dan? Is that what that is?
Team Youngblood.
Team Youngblood, I say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe the DNU's fucking... I don't know.
For me, I like that.
Because it could be Savage Dragon, the DU. Yeah.
The D is Savage Dragon.
Yeah.
I think.
I've got Savage Dragon here. Yeah. Drag it out.
For me, that masthead's great as a variant cover. I know sometimes we lambast variant covers, but, you know, just to have a proper over-the-top 91. But I'd like a clearer, maybe make it look like an 80s action movie, kind of.
Yeah, it's kind of niche that, using the headers, things like that, because when we had Tony Fleece on the other week, when he was saying, like, you're making these callbacks to characters that not everyone's going to remember,
it's a bit
fair play.
Although,
I think you're right about the D.
We're going to have to put that onto the... Yeah, we're going to have to put that onto the slat, see if people can pull that.
Because there's an issue zero to this. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. I think that's from that anthology. That's a collection of the stories that are in that Image anthology that came out. Do you remember? Is it like the 30th anniversary anthology thing?
Yeah.
I've got it. I must look for it. I'd forgotten about this being in there.
I've got his classic 90s style there on the Image Zero covers.
Nice.
Right.
With all the guns and the things on him.
Muscles and guns.
He's got the croissant, as they call them on Robbie Liefeld. You know, those kind of like the things on the head.
Yeah.
I was watching some videos of Liefeld earlier this week, but we'll talk about that.
A contentious figure.
Yeah.
Welcome on the show.
We kind of love him, don't we? Yeah,
welcome on the show anytime.
It's a weird one. Let me just pose this question then. So we're talking about people doing other people's characters. If in 20 years time, Vince, you discovered someone who was doing Red Mask, what would, when you hadn't been spoken to about it,
saying you didn't own the rights,
You didn't own the rights anymore,
I mean, that would
that grind your gears,
that would completely fucking grind my gears, you know, or doing something that's essentially very similar.
Damn, we've got to cancel that plan.
But even if it's just sort of like, you know, essentially doing the same thing, but it's changing the colour, and it's like, you know...
Green Mask from Mars.
The Blue Mask from Mars,
But, you know, it's like we see, I mean, how many sort of small press or independent creators who have done Batman, but without the ears.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, you know, or put them in a different... But I don't know. Make their costume white. That hasn't been done before. you know what I mean? And If it happened personally, of
course. There's a lot of Red Sonjas out there as well. Let's face it at the moment. Yeah.
Red Sonja is probably one of the biggest inspirations for fantasy, I think, at the moment. I think naturally you would, wouldn't you? You'd be really sort of annoyed. Yeah. But where does it go from there? Do you know, sort of.
Yes. Can I get to the bit where I was going to do a little bit of moan about something? I know I don't often moan about on this show, but I moaned about it earlier on social media, and I'm going to moan about it now. So if you've already read that, there's nothing in this segment for you, unless you want to hear me vocalise that.
Welcome back to Butcher's Grudge Corner.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin 2.
Oh, yes.
I've read the first issue of this.
I can't attest to whether like it's a good comic or not because I've not read it.
It's not as good
it,
as the first comic. First
no, it can't be. It no, can't be. Because the Last Ronin is written, right, here's the ending of the Teenage Ninja Turtles. At the end of this wraps it all up. This is like Dark Knight Returns in the future. This is how that universe ends. We know that didn't stand with Dark Knight. But like that was like, this is the final turtle story. And it's like, oh, this sold pretty well. Let's carry on doing the story then. It's like, don't.
I suppose DKR did the same. He's returning again, is he?
It's like, so there's four new turtles against four. You can do four turtles. Can you not do two or five? But you're going to do, because there was four turtles in the original one. Now you've got to have four turtles as well. It just fucking smacks of, oh, come on, man. It's just.
It is. They got to milk that teat, Dan. You know they got to milk that teat. They just got to squeeze it for all of its calcium. You know
that's
that.
The worst thing. Like if
this
you come up with this great
way, this metaphor.
You come up with a great story, and it's like, oh, it's fucking great. Now we've got to do a sequel. So, no, you don't.
Unfortunately,
but,
look,
yeah, it's,
comics
money in it though.
Fucking bend you over again, won't they?
Mind you,
before Watchmen.
But there's also, I mean, it's always going to happen, though, isn't it? If there's money to be scraped from fucking some barrel somewhere, they'll make it. But, like, I don't need any more old man Logan.
No, I don't need any more.
I had my old man Logan story. It worked lovely because it was just a moment in time. You don't need to fucking keep going with it. You know,
yeah, I really enjoyed The Last Ronin. I thought it was a cracking book.
I know you did. Yeah,
The fact that it rounds it all up, and you're like, you see these characters that as they've grown older, and how this big war's broken out between the Foot Clan and the Turtles and all their allies, and how it ended. It's like, man, that's a great capping point for the whole thing. Brilliant.
Is it the same creative team?
I don't think so.
Oh, that's another thing that would. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you got the same creative team coming back to sort of like, okay, what can we do with this?
I didn't finish the new issue. I didn't finish it.
Okay, not your cup of tea.
And I know that the cover that you posted, Dan, just it wasn't very inspiring for me. I was like, whatever.
Okay, yeah.
I might try and read it in trade. Maybe if they did a hardback, I'll wait to see what you guys think, and I might.
And
get
also,
it.
if it wants to be a sequel story. Right, because it's called The Last Ronin 2 Revolution. Am I seeing that right?
Re-evolution. So the turtles are evolving, but then it's also they're gonna do a revolution.
While I'm having a nosebleed thinking about that, just call it The Last Ronin, and then with the subtitle, you don't need the two.
Yeah,
you don't need the two. Fuck it.
It's like the end of. I sent you the end of the new, freshly cancelled Punisher series. the ongoing that became a miniseries that then even then got fucking cut.
It went from 5 to 4.
Yeah, and the title at the bottom of the last page says, "What does it say? The beginning."
The beginning.
They
what a
are
fucking signing
trolling
on
themselves. They're trolling themselves at this point. Yeah,
just
nobody
awful.
Believes you. We know it got cancelled.
Yeah.
Just, and you only have to read a couple of issues of that. Well, this ain't going to get a distance. It ain't doing nothing.
You know, I'm not the sort of person to type on Twitter these days, but I did put a post about this, about that being a slightly sarcastic fucking thing. Yeah. But the, also, I did notice that the writer of it has put a post up saying, now that Punisher's finished or something similar, what do you think I should write at Marvel? And I was very tempted to say, well, to be honest, nothing.
Yeah, I can't. Nothing springs to mind, to be honest,
mate.
Yeah. If this is your A game, I like, gotta rethink it. Gotta rethink it. It's, I don't, like I said, I want to know what the story is behind the story. with this title.
Yeah,
It feels like there's
a
a
lot of
lot being
editorial perhaps
unsaid.
going
Yeah,
on.
we
Yeah.
can, we're not privy to and never will be, but I'd love to have a sort of a
It's, you know,
fly on the wall with that.
it's
Yeah.
just,
But it's saying that in the new Marvel previews, we've got Punisher back with Fury,
yeah.
written in a Garth Ennis
Yeah,
comic.
yeah.
It's in previews this week, so fucking get
Yeah,
that.
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we've talked Punisher Infinitum on this show,
Yeah.
and we weren't a fan of the new series. But
Art's great.
here is a
Great art,
question.
yeah.
Here is a
Yeah.
question for the community, be it on online or on the Slack. Perhaps we pose this to the wonderful community there. If you had to do a Punisher series, okay, you had to create a Punisher series without Frank Castle. That's the land we've got with, right? What do you do with it? I think it'd be interesting to see, because we bemoan the, oh, it's the same story again. Oh, it's the same thing. It's the same this. Are they doing anything new? And if they are, it's not really feeding anything. Well, let's do the backseat driving. What would we do that would be an interesting book? Because I think with a concept like that, there is potential. They wouldn't, of course. The publishers would never go for it, but there is potential to do what could be a quite an important story, in a way. You can say so much with that. But
Yeah,
they
if
never
you had an
would.
original take,
If
go
you
for
had an
it.
original take,
Yeah.
I don't know how to tell a Punisher story without it being Frank centered. Do you know what I
Yeah,
mean? If
I'm having trouble coming up with anything, but it's
no,
only a
no,
minute after
exactly,
you said it, so it's not
no,
like
no, exactly.
yeah.
I mean, my first thought was, he's not there. But then there are other people taking, there's more than one. There's all these people,
I mean, to be fair, I would probably do a story about a fucking load of gangsters around a table playing cards overnight and going, "Do you remember that time fucking Frank killed Johnny the Greek or something?" You know, I'd do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I
I
think
would end it with Frank getting out of the shower.
Yeah.
It's completely wrecked on everything.
Always you in a
What's he
shower.
say? He's like, "Oh, did you miss me?" or something. I can't remember what.
Yeah. I remember
He's like,
watching that when it was on.
"Yeah. Do you know all that we
Yeah.
did before? Fuck all that. It's."
Yeah. Just with him looking at the camera and going, "I'm back." That'd do me. We're done. Back,
Or
yeah.
I remember the Frank's Back, the first Garth Ennis one, where he was like, just in one panel, it was like an angel, like a demon gave me powers at one point. I don't really care for it, so then I killed him or something
Yeah,
like that. And
yeah,
and in one
yeah.
panel, he completely dismissed that whole awful
People
Marvel Knights.
forget that almost that series has been wiped from consciousness. I
Yeah,
mean, I was
Marvel
chatting to someone in
Knights.
a comic shop the other day, and he was saying, "Oh, the Marvel Knights Punisher." And I went, "Which one?" And he went, "Well, the Marvel Knights Punisher." I said, "What, the one where he's an angel?" "I've never heard of that one." "Well,
It
fucking
fucking
best you go back,
happened.
have a look on Wikipedia, my friend." Yeah.
It's awful. I'd be
Amazing.
tempted just to sort of have him like, I can't remember if Mycroft's still alive in the continuity, be like have him wake up. It's like, "Frank, you've been in a coma for fucking weeks." He's like, "Oh, I had a dream about ninjas and all this." He's like,
We're
"Oh,
in space. We're in space.
we ain't got time for that. Come on, the mafia is doing X, Y, and Z," and then never
Do
mention it again.
you
Yeah. And there's somebody, there's the postman arrives. "I'm the postman. I'm your new postman, Joe Garrison." Just
Yeah.
kills him.
Oh dear.
Anyway, it's been enough Punisher talk. We know what to
What a
do.
bunch of grumpy old bastards.
Are we
It
going to
must be
do a.
pretty
Go
galling if you were like a writer and then someone just came on and said, "Yeah, fuck all that."
Yeah, fuck all that, mate. That's a load of shit. Are we going to do a question from the Slack, by the way? We should do one, shouldn't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Sarah's
There was
put a
one.
question
Yeah.
up, and we're going to table that for later because I think there's so much there we can pull out.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Sarah's one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Sarah
So
Webb, yeah.
thank you very much, Sarah Webb, for because that's a bigger discussion that we may see fairly soon. So.
Yeah.
Poppy, favorite trades for any day? For me, that'd be World War Hulk and Planet Hulk. Great.
Planetary.
Planetary, brilliant.
Yeah.
Lee?
Oh God, off the top of my head, this is going to be a weird one. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm just thinking about some of those classic ones that I have reread a few times. Obviously, for me, The Rainy Day, there was Jason Pearson's Body Bags. But in a weird turn of events, do you remember when Arthur Adams did that Marvel Fantastic Four, that mini one shot,
All right. Yeah.
where Wolverine, the Hulk, the Grey Hulk,
Yeah,
Spider-Man, and Ghost
yeah.
Rider?
They've been back a few times.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but there was like a one-off OGN graphic novel. Arthur Adams did it. And I think it's them versus the Skrulls, I believe.
Okay.
I've picked that up off the shelves more times. I just picked it up in a comic book shop years ago, and I wasn't really a Fantastic Four reader, but I was like, oh, that looks quite cool.
Man, you're in for those characters.
Yeah.
We've got a question from Troy about movie IPs in comics. We did tackle
this.
We did Aliens, Terminator.
We've done a couple of movie tie-ins.
It's called IP in comics, isn't it? It's about 3 months ago, and so Kieran came under it.
I think one of the best ones, obviously, is the Batman comic, which is the Batman movie adaptation, which is just fucking standout. Like the gold fucking standard.
Are we going to do Best Mum? Come on, let's do Best that. Mums, I know it's a day late, but we should do it, shouldn't we?
Yeah, as we record this, it's Mother's Day, so a big hello to all the mothers out there.
Yeah.
I said it like a big
hello to all the mothers from me as well.
Yeah.
I sent a link.
Hope you got your flowers.
You know, Mr. T sings a song, Treat Your Mother Right. I sent that to my mum.
Whenever I stay in New York, I used to stay in the Milford Plaza.
I bet you did.
You're a couple of dirty old bastards. What's the question?
Who's the best one? Go on, Dan. Go on.
One of the comments under that Mr. T video is like, I didn't realise Mr. T had such a lovely singing voice. And it's the most monotone fucking thing ever. who are the best mothers in comics? Obviously, my mind's going to jump straight to Sue Storm, but as Tony pointed out, she's put her kids in the line of fire multiple times.
That's the problem with mums, isn't it? If they have kids, you know the kids are going to get into the shit. One might die for a while, come back as an adult a year later, or
get abducted.
Like that.
That's the problem. Like, you know, the writers have to put them in jeopardy, don't they?
I'm going to go with Martha Kent.
Oh, good shout. That's a good one.
I like her. She's a good person. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just stand by the fact that, you know, I'm always, you know, when people go, oh, well, you know, he's Carlisle. He's this, that. Blah, blah, blah. No, he's Superman because of the upbringing he had.
Yeah.
He's, I agree. If it wasn't for those people, his foster parents, he wouldn't be the man that he is. That's the hill I will die on.
Yeah.
Because I think he's Clark Kent, who happens to be Superman. That's the way I see it. You know, I know some people are like, oh no, he's Superman pretending to be Clark Kent. No.
Fuck all that.
No,
he's more of a human than we are.
Yeah. Martha Kent, the farm, and then the phone goes, and it's Clark, and it's like, Mum, you know, how you doing? You're right, Mum. She's like, yeah. It's like, you know that suit you made? Yeah, kind of got a bit burnt. Can you do another one? For fuck's sake!
Not again.
Not again.
Where'd it happen this time? Space.
That's the problem with parents in comics, though, isn't it? You know, I know we're talking about mothers here, but it is that the child endangerment, the constant child endangerment in comics. Because if there's someone who is such a fantastic parent that their kid is never in danger, no one wants to read it.
It's boring.
I mean, surely Invincible's full of people. You know, the amount of families.
Mark's mum is actually pretty decent in that throughout. She does get put in jeopardy, but she's like
she's put in jeopardy though, isn't she? You know, and like you have the, you know, Aunt May is a motherly figure to Peter Parker. Isn't it? It's like, you know, there is a point where these figureheads can't control what the kids are doing. The kids are putting themselves on those railway tracks.
Mind you, she got boned by Doc Ock, didn't she? She didn't do too badly there.
Everyone loves Doc Ock.
Yeah.
Nice one, Vince.
Thank you. Yep. Yeah, I think, to be honest, Tony, I think Martha Kent's the... I think it's hard-pressed to do better than that.
Difficult, isn't it? Yeah.
You know, I'm sure the listeners are screaming at their listening devices now, wherever they happen to be. But, you know, let us know in the Slack where we went wrong. I know there's...
Yeah. Comic book moms. 10 best mums in comics. Number one, Martha Kent.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Before number two.
Yeah, no. Now, are we saying actual mother figures, or like, for instance, I said mom, Aunt May, who's a like. A
yeah, I've got to say mum or adopted mum.
Okay, we've got one mum.
It's like, well, she's kind of the mother of the Marvel universe. Oh, fuck off.
We've got two, Sue Storm, three, Hippolyta.
She's definitely the one that I would. I was looking through the list of mums earlier, and I thought, who would, you know.
Jessica Jones.
Oh, yeah. But she's always putting her baby, and then she gives it to Squirrel Girl for a while, which I thought was irresponsible of her.
Linda Park, married Wally West.
Yeah.
Mira.
Right.
Wasp welcome Nadia into home. I don't know anything about that.
So
Madam Web. Freya, and then Rosa Vasquez, who adopted seven superpower children. I don't know
there's
that either.
so many of these characters though, like when we probably think of them, I could say this one. Oh no, their kid died. You
Yeah.
know, it, like
Yeah, no, yeah.
half of these
Oh,
kids
kids in
get
space, you
wiped
can't find a
out.
kid. Yeah. A kid's a celestial being
I
now.
mean,
Like, that's not great mothering, is it?
will a lot of people say Lois Lane at the moment?
Do they?
I haven't read those comics, but you
I
know.
don't. I don't. I look. I read them, and I go with it. But she's a not. She's not married, Lois Lane. She's an investigative reporter at the Daily Planet newspaper. That's how I feel about
Fair
her.
play.
Okay, she's got all these kids now, and they live fucking somewhere, and he's her husband, and nah. No, I'm not feeling it. Didn't
I feel like there's some
Frank?
indie characters somewhere we're blanking on, aren't
Oh,
we? Where it's like,
massively, yeah.
Didn't Franklin Storm like try and wipe out the Marvel Universe at some point?
And we
Wasn't he
already
in
on was
Fantastic
it?
Force? Wasn't he getting off with a Skrull lady for a while as well? Wasn't
He
he? I think that's what he had.
he also saved the Marvel Universe when he made Heroes Reborn, didn't he? Because he put it on in a little
Oh
mini.
yeah, Pocket
Or,
Universe.
yeah, he's the reason that that exists. So he's the one
That's
that
a
wrote
rather
it. Once again,
messed up mother-son
yeah.
relationship, isn't
Back once
it?
again to Rob Liefeld.
Yeah.
So,
He is the Beyonder.
separations of Rob Liefeld. I think you'd
God.
probably do anything in three to Rob.
Yeah, you could.
Really?
If they
Yeah.
work for
All
Marvel or
right. All
DC,
right
then that's
then. All
two.
right then. Cerebus.
Dave Sim did a comic for Spawn Image.
Yeah, Image.
You
He was one of the CEOs of Image
fucking
at the time.
assholes.
No, arseholes. Yeah, I can do that in three. My hairy arsehole once sat on a fucking Rob Liefeld comic. There you go.
Direct connection.
What just
One
there?
arsehole to another.
Oh, gentlemen, please.
On, let's go. We got silly.
Ro
Have you
Robert,
seen
if
all
you.
these pictures of the front of the worms from June and everyone going, hang on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I asked for a June popcorn thing at the cinema, and they went, no, we don't do those kind of things.
Pervert.
So, what did you have sex with instead?
My wife was there, so
Nobody.
I had to wait for her to go to the toilet.
Then myself is
I had
normal.
to, like, I was making jokes in the week when I went, I had a box of popcorn on my lap, and she sort of rustled around and go, careful, your rhythmic vibrations have summoned Shiloh.
Did you call your cock Shiloh? You did, didn't you?
Well, for the purposes of that joke, yes.
Yeah.
No, I mean all the time you do. Yeah, clearly, yeah.
Yeah. Just
I did
thump.
warn her. I said only the big ones travel this deep.
Thump the sand and he appears.
We have worms on the like that God has never seen. Yeah,
Oh God. Speaking of things that make you want to shout, do we have any shout outs?
got two.
Go for it.
Bridlington Comic Con is back on Sunday, the September the 15th. There's quite a little gaggle of us going now, actually, to be fair. Free tables for small press, which is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. If you go to our buddy Andy, he's on the Slack, Andrew Hempel. Or if you go to Scaro Media, Skaro, as in Doctor Who, Scaro Media at hotmail.com, you can get hold of him. I think there'll probably is a limited number because they tend to be in one sort of area. But talk about doing right by us. Admittedly, a lot of comic conventions, including Andy's, have got stars from Doctor Who, etc., in them. But they'll also have a good, he's pushing the comic thing there.
That's
And
great.
when I went there last time, I went up to have a chat with him, and he was on the phone to a radio station. I sort of stood next to him. He didn't know I was standing next to him, and he was talking about comic sellers, indie comic sellers. He was doing a radio interview on his phone, if you see what I mean, a local radio station, and he was talking about indie comic sellers being at his convention. And I thought, good boy, that's great. And then we went on the hit and miss nonstop. And but there's going to be like Ian Ashcroft. I think the PhD's going, Johnny Cannon. There's loads of people going to it. So have a think about it. It's not your traditional, if you're used to going to a zine fair or Thought Bubble, it's not your traditional comic festival, but it's worth it to get out of the bubble, I think, sometimes.
Okay, yeah.
You know,
Get some new faces. People faces.
and there's a lot of footfall, a lot of people coming up and
Great.
chatting and stuff like that. Yeah. Clear Run 2 is the story of a
Yeah, about
rescue dog
this.
and its life before and after Helena and Damien. took him in. It's a great little series, this. I do love this. This is the second issue. It's currently on Kickstarter. Just needs a few quid and it's over the line. But one of our highlights, I think, in the sort of small press scene for the last couple of years is Clear Run, the first issue, and Clear Run 2 is back out. And being a collaborator with both those guys, and Helena especially, who's drawing it, it's going to be beautiful, man. It's going to be lovely to see. And the final one is the drink and draw is Friday, the 22nd of March at 7:30 p.m. I'll be posting the Zoom link on the Slack. And if anyone who's not on the Slack, firstly, what's wrong with you? But two, if you contact any of us, we'll give you the link. So it's the 22nd of March, which is a Friday, and it's going to be 7:30 p.m. Usually runs till about 10, that sort of thing. There you go. Am I through?
Nice, Dan.
I've got a Windbreaker spy comedy comic for all ages, a 30 A4 size, 32-page full color all ages comic featuring John Sterling, secret agent of Snoop. That's by our friend and yours, Dave Hingley. It needs a bit of love, that one, to get it
Oh, okay.
over the line. So go check that one out. We've got Steamroller Man issue one, as mentioned previously on the show by Tony. You can read some of this on Global Comics. It's great when you've got the whole Superman thing going on, because when he's like the normal guy, like Clark Kent, he's still got the steamroller on his head, but he's got like a massive pair of glasses. It's like his actual head's like a steamroller pin like thing. And he's got the glasses on the little kind of 1950s reporter's hat perched on top. It's interesting. I was reading here, it says Simpson director Matthew Schofield. Okay. I didn't realize that. I thought he was
I didn't
just
realize he was in there, yeah.
a comic creator.
Probably something we should get on at some point, actually.
Yeah, sounds like a good shout,
Yeah.
because obviously he knows his onions. And we'll all participate in, well, not everyone, March of the Mutants. So that's,
It was quiet.
yeah,
yeah,
it
so I'm just hearing shouting and hollering,
it
shouting and
went
hollering in the
dramatically
next,
quiet then,
I'm hearing
quiet.
shouting and hollering in the next room, wondering what's going on.
Oh,
We've
we
got
can't hear
March.
it.
Okay, we've got March of the Mutants, where we work all this month. We're drawing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle characters, and there's loads of us taking part in it on Twitter and X and in the Slack. So do check that out. It's great.
Nice. Nice. Lots of stuff to check out there. So many comics this week, and I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it's been a big reviewer palooza this week, isn't it?
So, speaking of recommendations, it's time to recommend some
Oh.
lovely comics to you lovely people. And we've got a couple more for you. Tony, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, so my first one, issue one of Mugshots, 32 pages, $5.99. Another book from Mad Cave, who we talked about last week with Hound. I'm paying more and more attention to them. This one is written by our buddy Jordan Thomas. I'm so chuffed for. He seems to be only getting bigger and bigger, didn't he, Jordan?
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
Brilliant.
great news. Artist Chris Matthews, Gatori, out available on the 8th of May. We got to see a preview copy of it, thanks to Jordan. There's variant covers by Chris and by Fran Gallan, and also a big name who I've seen, but I don't think it's been revealed yet, so I don't think we can mention it yet. It's a four issue miniseries, but they've allowed Jordan and the artist to do 32 to 36 pages per issue, which I think is great. That's going to put it up there for a nice four, well, I'm going to say. First up for me on this one is great to have a UK-based gangster story, albeit in Brighton, which we all know is a London suburb, let's face it. It's done in that two-colour style we see from the work of people like Darwyn Cook, Greg Hinkle, and Jay Bone. So immediately it puts it on my doorstep ready to be opened, if you see what I mean. It's done with modern sensibilities, and as I say, set in Brighton, but it's got the same vibe. I was chatting to Jordan about this yesterday and saying, I'm getting a bit of Get Carter from this,
Okay, all right.
which is one of my favourite movies, not the Stallone movie, the original Michael Caine movie. And he says he's watched it's reminiscent and evocative in a certain way of a number of his favourite films, including The Long Good Friday, which I'm another massive fan of. Have you seen The Long Good Friday?
Yeah, God, a long time ago.
Long time
Good,
ago.
good, good film. Yeah.
I started working through all those, like Get Carter and Longer Friday. What was he up, the sort of the gangster ones? Yeah.
Lock, you got Lock, Stock, you got all those sort of films. But the who's the unspo who's the non-speaking cameo at the end of Long Good Friday? Do you know? It's the IRA man in the back of the
No,
car.
no, no, no.
Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, wow, okay.
So the story opens with a girl. She's called Grace, and she's getting dressed up to go out. Her mum's shouting at her a bit, saying, "Don't go to that place. I've warned you about. Those people are no good." Stuff like that. But she's all glammed up, and she goes out, and she's walking down the street like a nighttime street. The street lights in the suburban town are lighting up the street, and it's a lovely. And it's also the title page works really well. I think you get that intro, build up a story. Then she goes out, and she gets kidnapped and loaded into the back of a car. And you sense there's something more to this. Why have they picked on her? And that it's no simple. Some simple kidnapping case. The police seem to sort of be veering to the side of it being a local nutter, but everyone's not so sure about that. Grace's uncle is a guy called John Banham. He's a criminal for hire. He describes himself, "I've never wanted to be a bastard. It's just all I've ever been good at." And he's kind of called back to Brighton, where he may not be exactly the favourite person in that area. And he comes back and reconnects with the scene down there. But there's like this is when we start seeing this mixture of different personalities, different characters who all build up into being part of the story, which I think the way Jordan writes it is very clever. You get there's like a local godfather. There's a group of Albanian gangsters who are moving in on the turf, drug dealers, and there's a murder. And you begin to start thinking, as it opens, you think, well, okay, she's been kidnapped. Okay, we've got this like almost Parker-esque, UK Parker-esque character who's coming back. He's bank robber, kind of con man, kind of gun for hire kind of character, and he's going back to Brighton because he's been called back to help with his niece Grace. But he's not super trusted, but he does have strong friendships in the town, and you see him getting back into them. But you also see the players situating themselves on the chessboard, unlike let's say it's the 3D chessboard, in order to become a bigger part of the story as it goes on. Visuals great, Matthew's great. Couple of panels, we get that look. You know, Mazzucchelli in Daredevil uses that light shining through a blind quite a lot. And I did it in year one as well.
Nice, yeah.
We get a touch of that, but done in a more sort of cartoony style that would fit with someone like Jay Bone. There's a point where the Godfather character, the big gangster character in Brighton, he's pulling the blind down to look out, and you get the light in his face. Really well done. Really impressed. It moves perhaps between something like Darwin Cook, but also that there's that little turn to the right, into turn to the left, whatever you want to say, is into the Sin City vibe, where Sin City dealt with silhouettes a lot, this deals, we get more of a facial stuff in this. You get more personality. I'm not just saying this because he's our buddy, but I think this is one of my favorite books this year, genuinely. Wow. Really good.
Nice.
I said this to Jordan. I hope he doesn't mind me saying it, but I think it's his best thing so far as well.
Oh, fantastic.
Really good. Go to Mad Cave Studios at Mad Cave Studios on Instagram, madcavestudios.com. And Mad Cave are also on Global Comics. But I'd recommend ordering this from your comic shop if you've got a pull list. Go in, pre-order it now. If you go to Jordan's Instagram and stuff like that, you'll see that he's been putting a few of the preview pages up there, which if you go to ours, you'll see we've reposted a couple of them. But yeah, Mugshots issue one, it comes out again on the 8th of May. So you've got a bit of time to pre-order it. There you go. That's my first one, guys.
Nice.
What's your fantastic. I've got a... I went on to the comics.
What is he doing?
I just had a bouncy brain meltdown. And I thought I'm going to read John Carpenter's Storm Lord books on there. So if I want to
Storm Kings.
One of them, Storm Kings.
Yeah.
I'm going to give one a go. So I read John Carpenter's Night Terrors, and I was mistaken. I thought it was written by John Carpenter. It's not written by John Carpenter. It's written by Steve Niles.
Okay, there you go.
Pencils by Stephen B. Scott. Inks by Rodney Ramos. Colors by Lovan Kadinsky. Letterings by Janice Chang. And it's got a cover by Kelly Jones, which is...
Oh, nice. I like his stuff. Yeah,
always great to see. And in the not-too-distant future, Earth is no longer has room for graveyards. Callisto, a rocky moon of Jupiter, has become designated as a graveyard moon, but only the wealthy can afford a proper burial there. Cooper and his longtime crew prepare their cargo to transport a load of the dead, having flown this route many times over, but their routine trip is disrupted by deception and greed, and they find themselves under siege by the ghosts of the dead they carry, teaching them a lesson they may learn too late. Never disrespect the dead. Suffolk kind of... That Earth, there's a premium on planet Earth for space. All the dead have been taken away. There's either you have grown farms or buildings on Earth, there's no extra room, which I was kind of like, you can only fly them to another planet when I just burn them or shoot them in space. But I thought, don't fucking get too caught up on why they're flying dead bodies to space. Like, well, that's just what they're doing. Deal with it, Dan. And I was like, okay, fine. So they basically decide to kind of, because they were all rich people, they decide to just grave rob. We're going to grave rob these people, and they're covered in like all their finery. And there's a bit of double crossing going on as kind of some of the crew are like, well, I was going to do that. It's like, well, no, I was going to do that first and end up fucking each other over. But as the synopsis suggests there, the dead aren't so happy about having all their shit nicked. And they give the crew a hard time. It was a real kind of a B movie in a comic. It's just
Yeah.
like
Oh, cool.
this is nice and fun. Like, it's not a taxing read. It's the art's nice and solid. It's I don't want to be insulted about it, but like generic American comic book stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? That kind of style. I'm not being
That's right.
denigrating it. It's absolutely solid, absolutely fine. But I struggle to think of another way to kind of describe it. If you was thinking like the atypical American comic book style, this is what you get. Well done, solidly done. Artwork, great. It's fine. Yeah, I really had a good time reading it. I think I'll be checking out more of the Stormwall stuff. I've been cured of that apprehension, misapprehension that it was all written by John Carpenter. But obviously, he's using that to kind of highlight other creators, which he thinks
It's
got a
like
voice.
John Carpenter presents kind of thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think it's his wife mostly that runs it, isn't she?
Ah, okay. It does say John Carpenter's Night Terrors, but this one wasn't by John Carpenter, which it could well have been. It seems like the kind of
Well, you know, it could be
story pitch he'd make.
yeah, if he's conceptually come up with it and then someone else has run with it. That's quite a common thing with horror as well, isn't it? Some of these people sort of like, I think
You come up with
Stephen King's done a few things like that, hasn't he, where he's
you
come
come
up
up with
with,
the pitch or an idea and
yeah.
then
Lazy in it.
I saw one today, like it was a
That's
short
Stephen
film.
King for you.
Just arguing with fucking Wallies on Twitter nowadays, well, pretty much makes you a Wally if you argue with people on Twitter.
know. Take a look at yourself.
Yeah, just don't argue with people online. That said, I was arguing with someone with about Starship Troopers, which doesn't say a lot about me. So yeah, Night Terrors. That's on the Global Comics app. Sometimes I get mixed up because you guys put GC, like Global Comics, and sometimes I read that as CG, which is Comics Gate. And I'm like, I just read this about Comics
Oh,
Gate.
right.
Oh no, Global Comics.
Dan. Oh, Dan.
Oh,
Jesus.
no. I said the
Right.
word, pull them down.
Jesus. Okay. Well, I'm going to treat it as an issue one, actually.
Okay.
I've gone back to
Okay.
the well. You know, I've been reading a lot of comics, but like we did this week, they weren't any kind of issue ones, or they were collections or things like this. And I certainly
OGNs.
yeah. Oh, I like the way you said
Original
that, Dan.
graphic novels, yeah.
And I read this as collections. I actually read it in a couple of different ways, actually, because I read it as a collection on Global Comics initially, churned through it, caught up with it, bought the issues that I wanted to continue reading on like Comixology, so I could catch up with the individual issues because the latest trade hadn't. And shortly after that happened, they uploaded the trade. If I had only waited a week, I would have been able to read it all on. But it says a lot that I just wanted to pay that money to keep reading the story. And this was to catch up on a title that I'd heard about for quite a few years now. I think it's Boom, isn't it? Is it Boom? Yeah. This is Something Is Killing the Children. Which I know people will have heard of this comic because lots of people have been talking about it, lots of people are talking about how great it was, and you know, it was on my to read list for the longest time. Sometimes when that happens, I like things to sort of die away so I can take it on its own merits. You know, sometimes hype can be a double-edged sword. This is written by James Tynion IV, illustrated by Werther Delladera, coloured by Mikhail Murto, lettered by And World Design. A lot of the covers are by Delladera as well. Apologies if I've mucked up that name. There are lots of variant covers and stuff that the collections have. But to give you a taste of it, just jump in on issue one. Basically, when the Children of Archers Peak, a sleepy town in the heart of America, begin to go missing, everything seems hopeless. Most children never return, but the ones that do have terrible stories. Impossible details of terrifying creatures that live in the shadows. Their only hope of finding and eliminating the threat is the arrival of a mysterious stranger, one who believes the children, and claims to be the only one who sees what they can see. Her name is Erica Slaughter. She kills monsters. That is all she does, and she bears the cost because it must be done. This, of course, is a series that, from this, has the House of Slaughter. There's been mini-series. Certainly the main character themselves have become a bit of a fan art and cosplay sort of go-to because of the visuals of this. So I didn't have too many preconceptions of the story going into it. And I will say, because of Tinian's name, I was like, there's going to be more meat on the bones in this, you know, because it seems like a lot of the stuff we're reading of his is just absolutely hitting the nail on the head. And I absolutely fucking adore this series.
I haven't read this yet.
I remember I just thought, right, I'll just give it a try. I'll try one issue, you know, the issue one, just give it a go. Just like that, I finished volume one. I was on to volume two. Then volume three. And it was one of the most enjoyable binge reading comic book sessions I've had in quite some time. So if you haven't checked out this series yet, you've got 7 volumes to catch up on. And it's just brilliant. I think one thing going into it, when you hear about, oh, there's monsters like attacking children and someone's killing them, the monsters. I know there's, you know, that some people in the UK indie scene that will draw parallels to Mandy the Monster Hunter, who is the, you know, there is sort of parallels there, but this is a different kettle of fish in its own way. There is a world and there is a lore that is in the background, which they slowly sort of drip feed you enough. There's not loads of exposition. There's not so much sort of like, here's where I am, here's where I come from, by the way, here's 3 pages of the background. We don't need that. Sometimes I find in stories, if you front load loads of things, you bore people straight away, don't you? It's better to discover, you know, it pulls you into the bigger world of this. And the first volume itself, first couple of volumes surrounding the tale of like Archer's Peak, is a very much, it's a self-contained small little story about this, about this small town where like children are being killed. And I just want to be very upfront about this. This book fucking goes for it when it comes to the killing and these monsters and stuff. Dan, I think you've read a couple of issues of this. Have you read some of this yet?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. There is blood. It's very effectively done because it's a very dark story. There are nightmarish creatures. There are horrible things happening. Grown-ups can't see these things, but these creatures are actually there. There's some wonderful scenes in the book, and just the sort of panel layouts that Werther does are just so effective, and the lighting, and you see like an adult, they hear something and they look out of like their car window going, is anyone there? And you see the panel and you can see the human looking out the window. They look like they can't see anything, and you see the reflection of them, so you can see their facial sort of you know, their facial acting, and above them is this enormous creature that they can't see. It's almost reminiscent of the classic Alien 1, you know, pin-ups that we always see.
Yeah,
there's these creatures of shadow, you know, but the creatures are like almost like they're completely black, and you know, the only color that they have is the red of their eyes, so they can do so much with the shadows, and it's just beautiful sort of kinetic artwork. It's grisly, it's grim, and gripping. Oh, there's 3 good words that go well together.
Somebody's writing the PR for it.
I know. And to be honest, I just kept going. This almost hit me out of left field that it gave me just.
That's what you do, though, isn't it?
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Because Erica Slaughter is obviously a very.
I didn't realize that that was the previous comic, wasn't it? Is that right?
What?
Is that something's killing the children? Is that a sequel to a comic?
No. House of Slaughter. You've probably seen the House of Slaughter.
Yeah.
Erica Slaughter is one of this is the introduction of the world. Something is killing the children is our first step into this world. As far as I know, So you hear, you know, she's called Slaughter because she comes from like a, it's not an academy, but you know, almost like there's a house of people and they all have the second name Slaughter. They're people from all over the world. And there's these different houses that it's quite funny. We've been talking about June recently, but you know, they've all got like different names and they're all set up across the world. So there's a whole big, there's a lot of world building done here, but in a very, organic way. Like I say, I mean, I told you all of that, but I got all of that after quite a few volumes. It's never at the, it never forsakes the main story for the lore that it has built, which was a thing I really appreciated. There is a real heart to the story going on, because she's also, she's trying to protect kids. She's going in, all the adults just think she's a mentalist because she goes around and obviously she's got these big swords. She's got like a, she's got like this bandana over her face because all of the different houses have like, and this is something that people will probably recognize from fan art and stuff. The bandanas are sort of black with like these monster teeth on them.
Oh, right. Yeah. That was the thing for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're in different houses, you've got slight, they're different colors and, you know, but this, like I say, that's something I discovered later. By that time, I was already hooked in. The IV was in and I was like, just give me more. but the first story has that wonderful, it's like if I was to compare it, you know how, it's a weird comparison. You know how that classic Vin Diesel film, Pitch Black?
Yeah.
Right. It was just a standalone little horror story, like a sci-fi horror story. You didn't, there was hints to this other world, but you enjoyed it for what it was. Yeah, it went on to become the Chronicles of Riddick and all of that nonsense.
Yeah.
This, the first volume, the first story of this is almost like the Pitch Black. But what it does more successfully than that franchise is it delivers on the world building there. I haven't started on the House of Slaughter. I'm going to, because I'm very intrigued to see what that's going to be like.
Is that on the app as well?
That is on the app as well. And I was the last, when I finished the six volumes, and I said to the guys on the WhatsApp, I've got to buy the individual issues now because I just need to read more of it. So I read the next six issues. Because it very much, it was edge of the seat tension. Just, it's not always the monsters that are really horrible as well. And without spoiling anything, really good. A story with a lot of heart. A world that I'm very much enjoying being part of. And something is killing the children. Believe the hype. I'm glad I did.
Oh, good
so,
stuff.
Yeah, so that's good. And
I must get on that.
There's lots of it to read. Do you know what I mean?
Tinian,
and I like the fact that it's, yeah, a lot of people say, talk about Tinian obviously and the books he's doing, but you can never forego the artist that he's chosen to collaborate with, and this is so much, this is Werther's book. Do you know what I mean? His designs and his world building is,
I think,
just
I've seen
wonderful.
Him do a couple of videos recently, sort of, you know, that kind of talking to the camera kind of deal.
What, the artist
Tinian?
Or Tinian? Oh, really?
Yeah, he does sort of annoying things on Twitter than me.
Most people do if they're on Twitter.
Yeah, I always think, who wants to fucking see me on camera?
Yeah, well, a lot of ladies.
Hang on, don't you do videos on your Patreon? Then? Anyway,
sometimes I'm not so
is
much.
Is it called a Patreon?
Me.
I thought it was sort of called something else.
OnlyFans.
I don't do an OnlyFans.
OF.
Yeah, not yet. We'll monetize them some way, listeners.
Like Dre DiMatteo does.
Yeah. So that's my recommendation. Some of these kids are really not that OnlyFans. Tony, what's your final one?
And my final one is a nice little surprise, actually, called Mary Boys Beef Heads, published by Proper Comics, who I think are English or Scottish, I'm not sure. Created by a guy called Carl Stephen. I hadn't heard of them before. Nothing like. I'm not sure if I heard Proper Comics. They use, the logo's like the EC logo. It's like a play on that. Nice. You know what I mean? With PC rather than EC. But I like it, but we see that mimicked a lot. So I'm not sure if I've seen that logo before. It's a hard one to think. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it appeared in the NIA, came through as a submission and just said, can you review my comic? Do you want a hard copy or a digital file? So just send me a digital file, man. As I say to a lot of people, and a lot of people send me digital files and I go, oh dear. But this one, there's a book that just came in from a stranger. I thought, oh, this is fucking good. I like this. there is an earlier, reading the intro page, there's an earlier origin story, I think, called Mary Boy's Primal Wounds. It's black and white interiors. I would say the style reminds me a little bit of Cliff, maybe Cliff Cumber's style, but slightly
Okay.
more cartoony. Yeah, and he certainly packs a page with story, which I liked. The Merry Boys are brothers, quadruplets, in fact, and then born with a genetic condition that leaves them hairless, with massive feet and hands. If you think sort of Popeye, but as Bo Popeye. But it also leads that every time they drink alcohol, they get super strength. So they've kind of replaced, what is it the Popeye eats?
Spinach.
Spinach.
Spinach. They kind of replace spinach. Carla's replaced spinach with alcohol, which makes sense within the confines of the story. And they get super strength when they drink alcohol, which is a bit like me, to be fair. This is a collection of four stories in a trade. These boys, the Merry Boys, are brought up by a priest who thinks he's a member of the Knights. This gets complicated. Thinks he's a member of the Knights Templar, and there's an apocalypse coming. So the boys spend their days righting wrongs and being guided by an apparition of the Virgin Mary, which is a hell of a backstory. Not most of that kind of does happen, but it's not perhaps a sort of mission-led narrative. It's more that's kind of the overarching thing that's going on. It opens with a weird priest marching, like a procession through the town. And there's a couple of things they do. They go, the boys, the titular boys are the altar boys in this, and they bless the local river because they're worried it's going to flow over and damage the town. And then they go to the local mayor's office and they all give the V's to the local mayor's office. And what meanwhile in the mayor's office, he's dressed as like one of those sort of leather weird dog people, like a leather furry kind of thing, and he's getting spanked by a prostitute. So usual local elections take place later. And then they all go to the fish and chip shop, and the priest manages to get fish and chips for everyone, which is leads this whole, how many was it that is it Jesus who gave everyone fish, didn't he? Do you know what I mean? All that sort of thing. But and everyone's like, oh, it's like it's again, we're back to the people's front of Jude, popular people's front of Judea and Life of Brian as we were with June earlier. But it's a bit like, oh my God, it's a miracle. But it turns out he'd actually maxed out his credit card or his debit card and subtly handed it to the lady behind the counter. But they all think it's brilliant. There's four stories and they're all good. The second story is like a Roy of the Rovers on a mixture of acid and coke all at once.
Brilliant.
And it's a bit Football Factory. There's a few nods to the Four Lions in the mix. Just full on fucking violence. These boys sort of seem to carry cricket bats with them and bash people up with them. They're sort of just absolute meatheads. The third story is there's a Comic Con in that town, but it's been called, as is fitting with the town, it's called Asbo Con. And the artist alley is called Artist Ghetto. So I guess Carl has done the odd comic convention at one of these like Comic Con by name only kind of places. They manage to foil a paedophile who tries to kidnap a kid who's dressed as Batman, which is quite cool. And there's a villain in it called Half Brick, which is a play on the Snatch villain, which is kind of cool. If I had one criticism or maybe just two, I would say the intro page looks a bit New Times Roman word. It's a little bit of that in it. The bottom couple of lines are crammed in. He's obviously thought, oh, I need to get the website or the email in. He's sort of crammed it in a bit. I would think if it went to someone like you guys, you could, probably,
Yeah.
yeah, I think so. Give it like a solid design throughout. The covers, I like the cover, but I think the use of not maybe watercolor, but that sort of washy type color on a cover doesn't fit. I think you need to be broader and brassier on a cover. I think the design on these kids, these sort of terrible, awful mutant children, who are just violent and just thugs, is just so good. I think you've got to put it in full color on the cover, I'd say. The layering also, I'm going to say, feels a little bit harsh because you've got like almost like a wash effect in some of it, and you've got very harsh edged word balloons stuck on the top of it. Does that make sense? They're kind of a little bit too bright on your eye when you see them, that they take you out of it a little
Okay,
bit. I think
yeah.
there's a way to do it. I'm guessing with someone, I know Ken and I talked about it, and we've done quite Ken Reynolds, and there's a way of working it, I think, like that sometimes. But I think Carl really knows what he's doing. This is I probably might try and get hold of the first trade on this. He's got a definitive style. It's full of fucking attitude, man. It's like it's a cross between a monthly comic and Viz in a way. There's a definitive Viz character, and you know, you wouldn't be surprised if Sid the Sexist turned up in one of the pages in this. And he makes it exciting. He makes it funny. There's a real cruel sense of humor that I think we'd all appreciate in there. And I'll leave it. Anyone who's getting this, go and look at the back cover, because it uses the word pounding on the back cover, which I'm a fan of. So, like I say, I don't know anything about it. I haven't got it in front of me. I looked up Carl's Twitter, but I don't think he's got a massive Twitter activity on there. But yeah, it's called Mary Boys. If I get the website, I'll stick it in a Slack. I'm a bit sorry, I've had a busy day. But so there you go. Yeah, it's a good one. Mary Boys.
Yeah, oh, it sounds great.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice. And there you go. Tons of comics for you lovely people to add to your wish lists and read as the weeks go on. And the weeks will go on, and we'll keep providing basically a load of nonsense and recommending sort of some great comics your way, as well as like different indie comic storytelling. And we've got loads of stuff planned for the rest of the year.
I've read loads of comics this week.
I know,
like,
yeah.
Lots,
yeah,
but just kind of like, okay, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. But when you find a comic out there that you want to recommend to someone, do it.
Do it.
Because, you know, that's why we do it. And we hope you enjoy the episodes that we put out. And if there's anything you want us to talk about on future episodes, any events, comics initiatives, charity drives, everything, we'll give it a shout out. And there's several different ways you can give us a shout. You can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Follow us on social media. On Instagram, we're at awesomecomicspod. On X, makes me nauseous every time I say it. On Twitter, we're at the Awesome Pod. Thank you for listening, whether it's on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listened on Apple Podcasts, please subscribe, leave a review. It helps get the word out about the show and everything that we talk about on a weekly basis. Similar Spotify, you can leave a review on there. And it's nice when people do that. And we really, really appreciate it. And
if mate, this looks great, this comic. See?
You're looking at him out.
Yeah.
Isn't it mad?
Yeah, that's great. Very much reminiscent of what you said, like Cliff's work.
A little bit of Cliff there somewhere, isn't there? Yeah, you could see them like collaborating on something, couldn't you?
This is all lovely. And I appreciate it. Sorry, but I'm currently in the wind up of the fucking
show. He's doing
show.
It. I'm waiting to say
so
my thing.
So shut the fuck up. no, but in all seriousness,
workplace
though,
bullying.
I'll bully you. No, I won't really. Please. Yeah, no. Ooh. If you listen to us on Amazon, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, well, I'm scared to ask.
The most you've ever been Kenneth Williams.
don't tempt me, Frodo. Where else can you? What are the networks we on, Tony?
We're on the network. How's your sandwich? Dry and crusty, just like your mother.
We're a day beyond Mother's Day, but Mother's Day. Snipes, always welcome.
As you can tell, in the space of 30 minutes, we both were positive about mothers and then tell this.
I'm very positive about mothers.
All right.
T says, treat your mother right.
Yeah, exactly. We do everything Mr. T says. Yeah.
You should treat everyone right because, you know.
No, just mothers.
Just pay it forward. Goodwill. Goodwill to everyone. You know, we'll just be positive.
In that music video, there's two people arguing, and Mr. T, that one of them brings the mums into it, and Mr. T's like, shouldn't we bring your mums into it? It's like, you're fine with them fighting, but just not to bring mums into
it. He goes to Ukraine. Yeah. Listen.
Too far. Where can people find us online, etc., Tony?
NeverIdentything.com. If you fancy getting your comic reviewed, then send it through.
Good chat. The ups and the downs. Is that
tops and bottoms, my friend. Yeah, tops and bottoms. Got a good one this week coming. Looking forward to this week. Yeah, I think you'll like a couple of bits of it. Yeah.
Is that every Wednesday?
Wednesday mornings. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Clock.
Where can they find you, Dan?
Clock or set?
He's gone, mate.
Fucking where can they find you, Dan? Before I cut your fucking mic off.
You can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com, and you can follow me on Instagram or Twitter. I'm still posting up that March of the Mutants. I'm going for the 365 1 year of one a day.
You're
going
to do it for a year, mate. Fucking hell.
Well, remember, I started in Robtober, so I've only got to make it to September.
Yeah, there's no time at all. It's a fucking slog.
Okay. Fucking kidding. As you can tell from this episode, Dan's losing his mind doing this. Yeah. So,
look, the maddest Dan's ever been.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it.
But we appreciate it. You can find me on social media at Jester Diablo. Thank you very much for listening to the show, as always. We hope you, wherever you are in the world, you're happy, healthy, and you're reading comics that make you, that you really, really enjoy. Because that's that's what we talked about this week. A whole load of great books out there, and there's so much more out there for, to discover.
If you like what we do, spread the word.
Yeah. Please do. And a big thank you and hello to all our new listeners who have jumped on board recently.
Welcome.
Come on the Slack. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. You know you're there. Yeah, the Slack community, as always, is fantastic. Get in touch with us. Join. There's people from all over the world there. Different channels and groups talking about all things comics.
Yeah.
Whether it be continuing the discussion of. Actually a proper discussion, not just us waffling on about a load of old shite.
Everyone comes up with really good points, and everyone is welcome. Don't think you've got to be a comic creator, or you've got to be part of a club or a niche or a clique or anything. Everyone,
as you like comics,
that's all we want.
You're in.
Like comics and be a good person. That's all. That's all we care about.
They're not mutually exclusive.
Tony, that was for everyone else. Don't worry about us. We're all hideous.
Thanks.
and until
the toxic core that ran.
Next time the toxic trio start infecting your ears. Have a brilliant week. Read loads of comics. Keep making loads of brilliant comics for us to read. And as always, watch what they do, guys.
Stay awesome.
Bye, everyone.
All right.